must be happy. He must be happy. He must be happy.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back to another live episode of Off Topic Radio.
Number 98.
98. Jesus, we're getting old, huh?
Yes.
I am.
We're approaching the end, at least for you.
Yes, yes. A detour. Not the end, the detour. I'm just making a turn. The road less traveled. That's it.
Well, the end of Off Topic Radio for you.
Yes, for me, absolutely.
Yeah. Hold on, let me turn off the fan, Carl. We're going to hear thunder.
Yeah, otherwise we're going to have thunder in the background again.
Yes.
We don't need that.
The gods are displeased with you, Carl.
Yes, the thunder.
So, you want to get right to that, man? I mean, that's
There's a lot of speculation.
Let's just say that the plan, Carl,
a lot of speculation.
Well, the plan was for us to announce this at the 100th episode,
right?
And you kind of let the cat out of the bag early.
Accidentally, I was interviewing Dennis Weiss, I hadn't been sleeping well the past couple nights, you know, those nights, and so I was interviewing Dennis Weiss, and at the end of the show, he goes, you know, I just want to let you know, I listen to Superhuman Radio all the time, and I was surprised. I didn't know that. I go, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, I love it. He goes, yeah, I also love that other show you do with Aaron Singerman. He goes, you guys are really funny. And I went, oh, yeah, I'm not going to be doing that much longer. And then he goes, really? And I was like, I'm probably going to be off that show over the course of the next few shows. And then I just, like, turned right and I changed the subject. I was like, why the F did I just say that? And so... then I thought, well, you know, maybe no one will pay attention I forget how many people listen to the show. And the next thing I know, there's threads popping up. I'm getting emails and instant messages on Facebook. I'm getting messages on Facebook. I'm getting PM'd. I was like, oh shit. Everybody's like, is it true? Are you leaving? You're really going to leave? What is this about? Like, I didn't respond at all. I didn't even answer. I thought, you know what? I'm not going to answer. And just let it go away. Like 3 days from now, those threads will just go back under the carpet. People will stop PMing me it'll just stop. The rumor will stop. But it didn't go away. It just kept on snowballing. And then there was like, then you were like, why did you do that? I was like, I didn't mean it. It was an accident. I was like, then you said, look, you need to post something on the board.
Because, yeah, you didn't even want to post anything.
No, because I was like, I just wanted it to go away. I was like, you know what? I shouldn't have said it. It was a mistake. Let it just go away, you know?
Then you took a look at all the threads.
And then I was like looking at the things that people were saying, why I was leaving. You know, I was like,
people were saying that Dave Palumbo fired you.
Dave fired me. What were some of the speculations?
That I was... doing heavy muscle radio.
I was mad at you. Yeah, I was mad at you. Right. I was mad at you, and there was a fallout, or that I had, because I had fallen in love, that I didn't want to do the show anymore. Somebody, I actually replied to a couple people. You know, one guy, and I don't remember who it is, and I'll probably be able to find it here in a second. He said, like, he was chastising me. He said that because I didn't, when I showed up at the Olympia, that I didn't walk around and find advertisers, and that's why the show was failing. And you know, I should have put some muscle into it. I should have went out and found some advertisers instead of hanging out with my girlfriend. What that fucking douchebag doesn't realize is I closed one of the biggest fucking deals I've closed in years with Dr. Scott Connolly.
That's where you started, did the Connolly
deal. Yeah, and I also picked up, you know, four advertisers for Superhuman Radio. It wasn't like I wasn't working. It just, you know, I didn't spend a lot of fucking time just jerking off while I was there. That's all. I did a lot of shit off-site. I had breakfast and lunch with people that would deal, that they were related to deals. So it wasn't, had nothing to do with me not working the show. I'm trying to think what else people said.
It was mostly stuff like, that was just one guy. It was mostly stuff like that, people are under the impression that Dave Palumbo has some kind of sway over either the show's existence, so ownership of the show, or, me being able to do the show.
Yeah, right. There was someone else who speculated that because you were doing heavy muscle radio that you weren't going to be able to do this show anymore or something like that too.
Right.
There was just
right.
all sorts of stuff. And even Carson came out very strong, you know, with his theories and that the show would belong to Dave Palumbo now, that they would end up buying it. Jeff, the producer, would be the co-host. And none of that is accurate. The truth of the matter is, I've wanted to get off the show for a very long time. And the truth of the matter is that when I started doing the show, I told Aaron, I'm only going to stay on for a little while until you get your feet under you. Then we're going to find you a co-host. But things never materialized for me to do that. So I had to keep hanging in there. Now, My hand is being forced. I can't do the show anymore at night. I mean, my workload is a 12-hour-a-day workload, and I'm still not done with everything after that. I mean, I go to sleep working. I get up in the morning. The first thing I do is I start working. It's like that's all I do. And I just don't have the time to do the show anymore. So the show is going to go on. The show is going to go on in Aaron's hands, and there's going to be new co-hosts, and the co-hosts are going to be great. And the show will be just as good. It'll be different. It'll be different. It'll be just as good as it is now. Maybe better, actually, because maybe you'll have somebody else who understands bodybuilding over here as well. You know.
Well, regardless, the show will be very different. You know, that's the main thing, is it'll be different, because I'm not going to find another Carl Lenore, and that's for sure. So I'm not even – people will notice, you know, in the coming weeks that – I'm not even going to look for another Carl Lenore. So it'll
right.
be it'll going be something
totally,
completely
and,
different.
And this is all you're doing. You decided. We talked about it. You said, "I think I'm going to." I was like, "That's a great idea. That's a great idea." So you've got some really, really good ideas. And to the fucking people out there who are saying that the show won't go on because I'm leaving, I appreciate you know the compliment, but the show is much bigger than me. And Aaron is the one who does all the fucking work on the show. I'm like Ed McMahon. I show up and I go, hey, oh, and that's it. I mean, you know, Aaron is the one who does all the work on this show. So those of you who are trying to pay me a compliment, I appreciate it, but don't pay me a compliment at the expense of fucking Aaron, who does everything on the show except, you know, work the equipment on this end here. And also, one other thing. For the fucking dick who thinks that I read these radio spots fluidly during each break. Who was it? I gotta find this. This is fucking
That's my
hilarious.
Friend, Isaac Hines. Don't
Isaac, just, man, I know you. I thought you were fucking intelligent, cuz. You don't know that these are taped fucking recordings that I edit out my breathing and my gasps and my pauses and all that sort of stuff and create. It's kind of like when you guys Photoshop a fucking picture. I Photoshop the fucking spots. He says, yeah, one question. Carl read off like 20 ad infomercials. Who can read that fluently in continuous manner? I'm not confident that Baca's ability to read that man, that many, I think he meant, sentences.
See, look, you're reading just a few sentences now. And it's
yeah, that's how I read normally. That's how I read. But what I do is when I record a spot, I record it in sentences, and then I take my breath, and then I take and I edit the fucking pauses out, and I put it all together.
Remember the one ad that I did that didn't end up being that good because of the sound quality, but the one that I did, that's how you told me to do it, you know, say a few words, take a breath.
Right.
You don't have to rush it because you edit it all out.
Right. And don't get me wrong. I do read a whole sentence in one breath. And then I pause, you know, I take a breath, and then I start again, start the next sentence. And then I just take the spaces out. That's it. But
I mean, you can read a live red spot, no problem.
Yeah,
but you couldn't read, you know, five in a row
no.
without ever having a problem.
And I do, when I'm cutting spots, a lot of times I get lucky and I do it the first shot, boom, out. It sounds great. I'm like, that's it. It's done. But I'll tell you something else that he mentioned. He was listening to the show that I did today. I know what show he was listening to because I was listening to it too, sitting here at the studio. It was the one I did with Mike Westerdahl from Critical Bench about increasing your bench press. He said he tuned in and he heard Carl talking about how his dumbbells only go up to 140, so he has to back off, laugh my ass off. Okay, you weren't listening close enough. I use the dumbbells because I have problem shoulders. I can't bench press with a bar. I didn't say I had to back off of the dumbbells. I said that if I want to try to build a 300-pound bench press, I'm not going to be able to do it because my dumbbells only go up to 140 each. I wasn't embellishing myself. So if that's the implication, I'm surprised. So Lift Studios is Isaac Hines?
Yes, Isaac Hines.
Damn, man. I thought he was, well, never mind.
He is a cool guy, Carl. You're sensitive tonight. You're very sensitive.
I am sensitive. Because a lot of people are saying some shitty things, too, you know, that are a little disconcerting. The notion that I am leaving the show because I've fallen in love is just, I don't know. It's pure fucking high school type mentality stuff.
Well, their logic, I mean, the logic they're using, the people who are saying this, is that, you know, it seemed like you were really into the show before you met this your lady love, as you call her, Mrs. X.
Right.
And you were, you know, passionate about the show, and you said you had a lot of vitriol, you know what I mean?
Yes, that's true.
And then you met her and it disappeared, and then
Well, the vitriol definitely disappeared. There's no doubt about that. But my desire to do the show, that my hand is being forced for a couple different reasons.
That's the thing you should go into,
okay.
Because people probably don't understand the
number one, I opened myself up on this show and spoke completely and honestly, got myself in a lot of trouble with people on the show. like Sledge and Girly Muscle, who, you know, wanted to tear me a new asshole because of I was voicing my problems about my divorce and all that sort of stuff. And the truth is, I probably shouldn't have done that.
You talked about personal problems with your family. Like, right. Remember when? I don't know. Can I go back into them, or should I not?
Nah, I don't want to go back into any of it. But
you
the bottom
about
line,
stuff that was
yeah.
private,
right.
personal.
I aired private business on in a public forum, and I did that because I didn't do it because I was trying to.
I think you found it cathartic at first.
Yes, I was just going to say when I did that, it left my body. I was like the next day, I didn't have those feelings. I it was almost like I was in group therapy, but there was thousands of people in the group with me.
Right,
and so. I got to speak my mind and get it off my chest, and it was very helpful for me. And it also brought me closer to a lot of fans because a lot of people were going through similar things, having the same feelings, or had the same feelings, and we were all commiserating together. And I feel like there was a bond that occurred because you can't help but show your wounded soul, and people go, wow, this fucking guy is real, you know, and that's really what happened. I mean, I shared everything that I had to share at that point in time with the audience. Well, needless to say, that has cost me a lot of fucking money and a lot of grief because my ex-wife used to bring the audio tapes into court. The judge heard me say, I'm not coming back to Louisville. And that's why he fucking slammed me in one of the orders. Said, I have to take the respondent on face value because he said this on his show. And so, you know, I mean, it ended up fucking really, really, really hurting me, to do that. Well, there's a new chapter in my life. I'm moving back to Louisville now. And moving back to Louisville to be close to my daughter, my 13-year-old daughter, and I can't take any more risks being on this show because my fear is I'll say something on this show that I think is humorous and that's funny, but it'll be taken into the wrong context and it'll appear somewhere and then someone will say, gee, this guy's an unfit father or blah, blah, blah. I just can't do that anymore. So number one of the reasons that I am leaving the show is because I can't just be myself anymore. I have to worry about where it's going to end up. Number one. Number two, I really don't have the time. I'm undertaking not just, the new Body RX show, but two other shows that I'm going to be producing for other companies. And so I have to stay focused on my core business. My core business is Superhuman Radio first and the radio station second. And the radio station's business is growing all of a sudden. I've got three clients that want me to produce shows for them. So that and that's where the rubber meets the road for me because I make a lot more money doing a lot less work doing that stuff. But I have to be very focused. As a matter of fact, I'm going to end up hiring an assistant when I get back to Louisville because I'm not going to be able to do all this work myself. So that was an economic issue. I thought to myself, wow, I really can't do this show anymore. This show, like people don't know how I was complaining to you a little while ago, like, oh, fuck, I got to do this show now. I got all this other shit to do. And then tomorrow I got to fly on for business. And it's like, I don't know how I'm going to get all this shit done. So that was the other reason. So the bottom line is I always wanted to just do this show in the beginning to get it up and running and get off. And I have no choice now. There's like, it's come to the point, like I'm moving back to Louisville. I'm overburdened. I have to do it. I have no choice. And we talked about it. You and I talked about it last month and we were like, okay, we're going to announce it on the 100th show. And if I didn't fucking slip up, nobody would be the wiser until the 100th show. But now the cat is out of the bag. And ultimately the truth is that I'm leaving the show after the 100th show.
Right.
So.
And
it has nothing to do with my girlfriend. It has nothing to do with I didn't want to sell advertising. It has nothing to do with any of the speculation that's
or
on
Dave
the board.
Palumbo or
Dave,
else.
Yeah, Dave. You know, Dave had nothing. He has nothing to do with this show other than he's gracious enough to host it on his website, and in return, he gets a lot of fucking traffic because it's a popular show. So that's a one hand washes the other kind of relationship. But we are independent of each other. And he doesn't have anything to do with the show, and we have nothing to do with, you know, telling him what to do with RX Muscle.
Right, exactly. And, you know, obviously, you know, I was going to save all the stuff for the 100th show, and we'll still save, you know, any goodbyes or farewells to the 100th show. But, I do obviously, for people out there, you know, who said some stuff on the boards, obviously, you know, without Carl's help, I wouldn't be here doing this today. Or really doing any of this stuff today. So, you know, obviously I'm very grateful for the opportunity that you gave me
But you look what you took it into. Look what you turned it into. No one can take that away from you. I gave you a chance to host a radio show that no one listened to when we first started doing it. Hold on a second. That's the studio line, believe it or not. Studio. Wrong number. Fucking asshole. Okay. I thought it was a call in. Anyway,
maybe it was Zach Kahn.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. He's calling in from UK. But anyway, I gave you an opportunity to co-host a show that no one listened to in the beginning, and look what you've turned it into. I know there's a lot of haters out there that are trying to fucking steal your thunder, and it's really not nice. That's one of the things I get mad at when they're like, "Oh, Carl's leaving the show. It'll fucking never go on." Bullshit. It'll go on fine. It'll go on fine. It'll just change. It'll different chapter, same book. That's it.
Exactly. And there will be changes, you know, obviously changes. So let's talk a little bit about the changes. For the first thing is I need to find a new co-host, obviously, right?
Right.
And so the way that I decided to go about doing this is that I am going to try to do – now, we have to figure out how this will all work, but and we'll do that in the next few weeks. But I'm going to have either three or four that I've already talked to, potential co-hosts, come on and do 1 hour shows with me in the I guess it will be the 101st through 103rd show. Well, yeah, no, 104th show. I mean, either or.
Right.
And so, we'll do an hour show with each of these potential co-hosts, or I'll do an hour show with each of these potential co-hosts, and I'll put a poll up on the RX Muscle board, and, you guys will be able to vote. And I can't say 100% that I will take the vote, the poll as gospel, you know what I mean?
Right.
But it will heavily influence me, and I'll definitely, you know, strongly take a look at it and make a decision based on the poll and my personal feelings. And also you got to figure in, you know, what the people, the different potential co-hosts are willing to do time-wise and how everything will work out. But so we'll have each one of these guys or girls, and that's the big thing, Carl, is that I got at least one, possibly two of the potential co-hosts will be females.
Right. And I think that's a great, and that was your thought. And I was like, dude, that's a great fucking idea, because then you have one show that, you know, appeals to both sexes. Because let's face it, on RX Muscle, they have shows dedicated to the women. They have shows dedicated to the men. Why do it that way? I think that's fucking genius of you.
So that's what I'm thinking. And the two girls that I'm thinking of right now, one of them is see, the thing about it is, Carl, is that this is what it'll come down to with the girls, and maybe with the guys too, but with the girls is they have to be able to kind of play rough. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have to be,
pit ready.
Pit ready. Right. Exactly. It can't be, you know, like one of the girls that I don't know well, she has a master's in broadcast journalism. You know, she has a radio experience, television experience. She's very pretty, well spoken. Works with a large nutrition company that would maybe get on board with us. So there's a lot of positives, but I don't know if, you know, we'll have to see if she can, you know, handle, you know, I guess getting a little dirty, you know, talking dirty. I don't know. I don't know her well enough to know where her line is drawn, which she'll think is too much, you know?
Right. Right.
I mean, you're the anal sex guy, so I probably won't be mentioning anal sex with her a bunch.
Well,
so.
How do you know? Maybe you can get a girl that's like very outspoken. Very.
That's what I would like. See, the other.
What
girl
about you? Know what? What about Haley McNeff? Because she's pretty bold, isn't she?
You gotta be reliable too, though, Carl.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know she wasn't reliable. I'm
no,
sorry.
She is. She may be, but you know, she's got her workouts and her food, and it has to be a priority for the person.
Yeah, the medium.
Remember, we called her to do the interview, and she's at what Waffle House? Or
yeah, right. Yeah, right. She forgot. She was like, she kept hanging up the first, and then finally she took the call.
Yeah, and she's like, oh, I'm eating at IHOP. Yeah. I've got chocolate chip pancakes. I got chocolate chip pancakes.
Listen, like, I got to read this. Medium Extreme wants to know, since you are in love, do you and your lady love talk baby talk like Carly Poos wants touchy touchy? That's fucking hilarious. No, I don't talk like that, man. All right. Anyway, I wouldn't put it past you. No, I don't. I'm a man. I'm not a little kid. G. Davis wants to, he says, do not skirt the issues of Carl jumping ship. If I haven't answered the questions properly, I'm checking the board here every couple minutes. Please let me know what answers you want and I'll answer them for you.
Okay.
So there you go.
So that's what I'm thinking with the co-hosts. You know, it's still all a work in process. You know, I really, this kind of, you know, it kind of jumped up on me. So right. Now it's I'm in the process of figuring out. You know, I guess the three main factors I think about when I'm looking for somebody is, can they communicate well?
Right.
Right. That's one thing for sure. Are they somebody that would be compatible with me? You know, do we have chemistry? That's important, obviously. And, the third factor would be, you know, how excited they are to do this. You know, if they're motivated and excited to do it, then, you know, I think that goes a long way.
Yes, absolutely.
Also, you know, a fourth factor would be if there's name notoriety, you know, if they bring an audience to the show.
Right.
That's important. You're reading the boards, aren't you?
Yes, but I'm listening to you too. You're right. They have to have a following. It has to be somebody who has a following.
That's the thing, is that if they, you know, obviously that would be a beneficial deal if I could get somebody who has a following already, you know. And if people want to give me suggestions, I'm willing to take suggestions, and I will call people and talk to people about this. If they aren't already on my list, that doesn't mean I can't add them. And so, you know, I'm keeping the list secret right now, but in the next week or so, we'll talk about it on the show. Maybe next week we'll discuss what I'm thinking about, and you can give me your thoughts on everybody.
Okay, and to KZ, yes, I will turn. I'm going to go into my browser now and turn off the sound. I didn't realize it was coming out over the air, so I'm looking at that.
Oh, right I now. Couldn't even hear it.
No, when I click the thing on the browser, I got to see how to turn off.
It goes click, click, click.
Yeah.
So it always does that.
Connections. Programs, advanced. Where would I find that? Accessibility book. Okay, so keep talking. I'm going to look at this at the same time and see if I can find out how to turn that off. There's got to be a way.
You've been doing that for 2 years now.
I know. He said he hears it on Superhuman Radio too. I didn't realize it was going out over the air. I'm going to turn it off.
Yeah, you've been doing that for years. I hear click, 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 click. Especially during when I'm interviewing people, I hear a lot of clicking.
All right, that's when I'm looking at porn.
That's the other annoying.
Especially if people listen to the Zach Kahn interview, you'll notice that I was completely like incapacitated. I didn't do anything in the Zach Kahn interview except make like three comments, and that's because I was talking to Mrs. X the whole time.
I am sure. I totally believe that. The first few comments, I think you were eating, and then you went away for a majority of the interview.
Right.
And they came back and made a offhanded kind of straight
about him being about from Barbados accent. Or something like that.
Yeah. Like, are you from Barbados?
That was fucking hilarious, man. That was funny when I said it. It sounded I laughed.
He started laughing too. Yeah. Does he really sound like somebody from Barbados?
He has a little West Indian accent underneath his very very thick British accent. Absolutely.
I never picked up on that. So I guess the next topic, Carl, I mean, we can go back to this if people have questions. You know, obviously, if you have questions, write them in the
Well, I can't look now because I got to worry about pissing KZ off one of the screen clicks now.
Well, I'll look. Yeah. So the next topic is the Derek Anthony, John Romano on the Derek Anthony show.
Yeah, wow.
We're giving him publicity here, airtime, but it's too big of a deal to just ignore.
Right. Because actually they were enemies for so long. And I guess the old adage, your enemy is my enemy, we're friends or some shit like that. How's that go?
The enemy of my enemy
is my friend. There you go. Thank you.
Yeah. Medium Extreme suggests we should have a webcam on the female co-host.
That would be great.
Both of the potential female co-hosts are very, very hot. So that could be an added benefit, Carl. Right. I don't need a webcam for me. We'll just have one for her. He says it's not in the browser, Carl. It's in the Windows control panel sound.
Okay, hold on. Oh, it's in Windows control panel. Okay, I'm going there. Thank you. Yeah, but I wonder if that'll just
turn off. This is what a live radio. See, that's the thing, Carl, is that I don't see any way that I'll be able to do this as a live radio show in the future.
Well, it's going to take some equipment. That's all I can say.
To make it a live radio show, so it is feasible for me to keep.
Yeah,
it live.
Yeah, because I can. We could talk about it.
So it is feasible.
Yeah.
Possible.
What is he? What did he say? It's in the Windows control panel.
You go
or
to
not
control
sound?
Panel and the sound panel, the sound button.
Okay, I'm looking for it in the meantime.
With a little speaker on it.
So what will you do? Here it is: sound and audio devices, and then sounds. Here we go. Let's see here. Program events. I wonder if I can just turn them all off at one time. Anyway, go ahead. Keep talking. I don't want to screw people up here.
No, well, I want to talk about the Derek Anthony thing.
Yeah, so
you.
Good. So that's it. So, Derek
you have,
Anthony.
You have to stop playing with that.
Yes, I'm not going to worry about this now. So Derek Anthony is interviewing John Romano. What is John Romano going to say? He's going to say things about bad things about Dave, you think?
Well, just to update everybody, I mean, I'm sure a majority of the people listening know kind of what's going on. But just in case you don't, John Romano is no longer with RX Muscle. We talked about that on a previous show.
Right.
And he left for undisclosed reasons, which I'm sure he's about to disclose tomorrow. So I think it would be, I mean, I don't know what version John plans to give or the details of his version because I never heard his version. But he's planning on giving a version of why he left RX Muscle tomorrow. And he says in, or Derek Anthony says in his posting about his show that the reason was that the IFBB, MPC, Jim Mannion, Steve Weinberger, these guys forced John Romano out. And I believe that's the topic that he is going to talk about. So John has decided to pair up with Derek Anthony, his old arch nemesis.
Arch nemesis, right.
Yeah, who he hated. And they hated each other. I mean, some of their clashes on the boards are legendary, where Derek threatens his son, you know, his children, you know, all kinds of stuff.
Right.
Where John threatened to, you know, to beat or kill Derek, or Derek threatened to beat.
Oh, they were
going to
fight each other. I mean, it was all sorts of shit going on back then.
There was one of those. Remember one of the radio, the TV shows they did, where John threatened to kick his ass right then, and Derek kind of looked like he was about to cry.
Yeah,
there was a whole bunch of stuff with these two. There's a long history, so it's interesting that he paired up with Derek and that he's going to be on the show tomorrow to, you know, I guess, kind of. What would you say, Carl? He's going to go on the warpath.
He's going to air out dirty laundry.
He's going to air out dirty laundry. And I'm sure John has a lot. He's been there in the industry for 20 years, you know?
I happen to know.
30 years.
I happen to have spoken to John Romano today, and I happen to know that some of the things he's going to be talking about, first of all, is the fact that Dave has anal warts, number one. And that was a deal breaker for John. He said, you know, he likes working with Dave, but he was afraid to sit in a chair after Dave sat in it because he was afraid he was going to contract anal warts.
Really?
Yes. And just the same way the wolf will chew its arm off to get out of a trap, John had to sabotage himself by saying things about the IFBB, or with the Olympia or whatever it was that he said, because he didn't know how to tell Dave, look, Dave, I have to leave because I'm afraid of catching anal warts.
Wow.
He didn't want to hurt Dave's feelings, so he created a diversionary movement and made it like that was the reason he had to leave.
Wow, that's very smart. See, John,
and actually, he's not mad at Steve Weinberger or any of them because they're in on it. He called Steve and said, look, I'm going to say something bad, and I need you to call Dave and tell him that I have to leave because I don't want to tell the guy I know about his anal warts.
And so that's really what's been
going on.
The powers that be at the IFBB.
And I feel bad talking out of school, but the way I look at it is I'm leaving anyway, so fuck it, you know?
Yeah. Dave's going to be pretty mad at you, Carl.
I know. He swore me to secrecy.
He's going to totally sell Superhuman Radio.
You're fired off
Superhuman Radio.
I was putting anti-wart medication on his anus one day, and we were talking about this. And I said,
a big fart.
I said two words to him, anal bleaching. And that was it. So.
And he gave you one of his big Dave Palumbo pearly white smiles?
Yes, he did. He did. He looked back. He looked back over his shoulder while he was bent over.
Smiled.
Doesn't everyone quit their job when they fall in love? PE teacher. Very, very good observation. Thank you for that one. That's funny.
So what do you think about the Derek Anthony, John Romano? Give us your thoughts.
Well, what can I mean, this sort of shit happens all the time. I mean, just like I said before.
You think this is a good move on John Romano's part?
It's definitely a good move on John Romano's part because he gets a pulpit to air out whatever he wants to air out. I don't know that it's a good move on Derek Anthony's part.
I don't think it's a good move on either one of them's part. And I talked to John a few days ago, and I told him, you know, that I didn't think that he should do it, that I asked him if he really wanted to do this. I hadn't talked to John since he left or anything, or I'd been, you know, in his co-hosting seat at Heavy Muscle Radio, and he called, and you know, he was very gracious, and he said that he wouldn't want anybody else to do it but me. And,
oh, that was nice of him.
Yeah, he was very nice on the phone. So I asked him, I said, you sure you want to do this? And he said, yeah, that's what he wants to do. So, but what I'm thinking is, and I told him this, is that he might be in the doghouse now, but he's going to be totally totally, you know, in the shitter after this.
Okay, but let me ask you, what is that going to cost him?
Let's think about it. So let's assume that John Romano stays with VPX and keeps his job and keeps getting, doing well there. It won't affect him at all.
Right.
It won't affect him at all. Let's say, you know, God forbid John loses his job with VPX and starts to look for another job with other companies or another magazine or some publishing company or anything else in this industry. He might find it difficult to go find one of these because, you know, he's become public enemy number one.
And there's a flip side to this. I think that there's probably a large number of people who maybe would commiserate with what he's about to say too.
It's possible, I guess.
I mean, there could be a lot of, well, you're saying he's going to come out on the air. What did you say he was going to come out and talk about?
I have no idea. We didn't talk about it. All I know is that he says, I didn't even want to know. I have no interest in even knowing. I'll hear when everybody else hears. But he says he's going to war.
With who?
With the IFBB and the
NPC. Okay, well, that's what I'm saying. Okay, so maybe there's people out there who are going to commiserate with his when he starts talking about them. They're going to go, wow, I feel the same way. So maybe he'll end up flushing out a bunch of people to stand on his side. I mean, I don't understand. If he talks bad about the IFBB or the NPC, assuming he doesn't own a website and doesn't need press passes, right? What else could they do to him?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want to.
I mean, do you think the IFBB could put pressure on his employer to fire him?
No, not with VPX, because VPX is not is mainstream now. I mean, they're selling supplements in Walmart and, you know, all the little gas stations. They're selling, you know, they're not even barely.
How big of a company is VPX? I mean, they do
pretty big.
$100 million a year.
What's that?
$100 million a year.
I don't know. I would imagine though. Yeah. I would think so.
Yeah, so that's a company that doesn't
give
a shit.
They're like a Gaspari. They're,
okay, so that's a company that doesn't give a shit what the IFBB thinks, because
I think people still give a shit, but I think that they don't have as much sway.
Because they have fuck you money. If you're making $100 million a year, I don't think the IFBB is making $100 million a year, do you?
I don't know.
Okay, right. I mean, if they're making $100 million a year, that's called fuck you money. That means that they could say, look, you know, fuck, we don't give a shit what you think. We're fucking bigger than you. And if we did want to come to the Olympia, here's $250,000 check. You think the IFBB is going to say, no, you talk bad about us, we're not taking that money from you? No, they'll probably take the money. So I think that if Romano...
That's what I'm saying. If he stays with VPX, then I'm sure you're right. But, you know, there's a lot of change going on in this industry, and people come and go from supplement companies. You know how many people we know that used to work here.
Oh, shit. I just got a text message from John Romano.
Yeah.
He just got fired from VPX a couple minutes
ago.
Oh, fuck. Nah.
He'll get picked back up tomorrow.
Yeah.
As long as it's before the radio show, he'll get picked back up.
There you go.
You know what I mean, though, right?
Yeah, people, yeah. I know. I mean, it's a dangerous approach. You're burning a bridge. There's no doubt about it.
It's just not the way I do business. You know what I mean? Like, so it's tough. I see what you're saying, and there's definitely another side to the argument for sure. But, you know, in my life, I've learned, from experience that burning any bridge, especially a big one like that, you know, when it's not when I don't think it's necessary, I just could come back to haunt him. And I like John, and I hope that doesn't happen.
Look, he's a big boy. He's been around this industry for a long time. I'm sure he's got something up his sleeve. So we'll see. And well, you know what? We don't even know what he's going to be talking about. It could be that
I know he might be, you know.
Yeah. Knows? I mean, it could be that, he's going to come on and say, you know, totally different things than we're thinking he's going to say.
I'll tell you one thing. Misery certainly makes strange bedfellows, huh?
Yeah.
Derek Anthony and John Romano, I never would have thought. It's funny. Derek posted on his Facebook page that John Romano was the talent in heavy muscle radio. He also posted in there that he said that you and John are leaving. So the talent from both of the shows is leaving.
And that's going to make his show better, he said, right?
And yeah, and that'll make his show the number one show.
By the way, I just did what he said, and it's still making the click noise. Just for the KZ, I just did exactly what he did. I chose no sounds in the scheme.
Do a click. Let me hear.
Hey, hold on. Yeah, I got to get back to a page here. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, I still heard it.
I got to figure out how to turn that off. That's all. Anyway, one last one. There we go. I just wanted to advance the page. But anyway, the bottom line is we don't know what John is going to talk about. Everybody's going to have to just tune in and find out. I'm not going to tune in because I don't give a fuck. I don't care
I'll tell you what happens next week.
Yeah.
If there's anything really, I don't think. I was going to say if there's anything really good, then we'll cut a clip of it, but probably not actually.
Yeah.
I'll just tell you.
I don't think you're going to want to put a clip on it if it's something anti.
No, that's what I mean. That's why I don't know if I would want a clip. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So anyway, that's that, you know, and we'll see how that goes tomorrow night. I will be listening live. I'm actually interested to hear, what will go down, you know?
Right. Right. What else do we have to talk about?
Carl.
Oh yeah, the Houston Pro.
Yeah, I covered the Houston Pro show and, it was just me. Well, it wasn't just me. It was me, Dan Ray, my buddy Tim, who is the, paparazzi photographer and my video cameraman.
Cool.
He did an excellent job. You never met Tim, did you?
No, I haven't.
Hopefully you have an opportunity to meet him. He's a good guy. He really liked his job because he got to go backstage and like take pictures of the bikini girls and stuff.
Oh yeah, huh?
Yeah, he loved it. Oh yeah. He loved that it gave him an excuse to go talk to every one of them and like legitimately, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they can't just blow him off. He's got a press pass and a camera.
Hey, G Davis says that you should bring John Romano onto Off Topic as your co-host.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Well, just see what he says. See what he says. If he doesn't say anything too damaging, you could offer him the position.
I don't think so. Maybe, right. I mean, you never know, Carl, but I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay.
So, yeah. The
Houston Pro.
Houston Pro Show. No more interrupting me with John Romano.
I'm sorry.
So the Houston Pro Show, we did the videos. Let's see. I don't want to leave anybody out. Who else was there? It was us three, I guess. That was it. So we were there, and I did the play-by-play, and Tim took the pictures, and obviously Dan Ray took the stage pictures. But most interesting for me was that I got to do the video wrap-up with Stacey Thompson, and I got to interview all the winners. And I did a video backstage interview with Tracy Winters, who was the Tracy Double D from the board, who was the trophy girl.
Yeah.
And I actually had a really good time doing it, Carl, and I know what Dave does when he does a video. Dave will be all calm and collected, and as soon as the mic starts, you know, the camera starts running, he'll like, you know, turn on the personality, you know, way more than you normally would.
Yeah, right? He gets energized and animated because people feel that over the TV. They feel it in the radio too. You become animated, and people become animated and energized. Dave is really whether he's been taught that or not. I mean, he's very professional in front of the camera.
Well, when you see Dave do it, you know, because I've done, you know, I don't know, at least about a dozen videos with him, as he is, I guess, kind of hosting the interview or hosting the wrap up.
Right.
He's the one with the microphone. I've seen him go from being like sedate and, you know,
ready to go to sleep.
Know, yeah, just no, yeah, exactly. Almost overwhelmed with wherever we are or whatever we're doing. To immediately the camera starts rolling. It's like he flips a switch and all of a sudden, hi, this is Dave Palumbo with RXMuscle.com here at, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like literally. And so I went in with that, that in mind. And, you know, one thing that helped me, Carl, is I thought about the questions I would ask or potential questions, you know, before I got up there with the microphone.
Right.
So I had some in my head ready to go. And I think it went really, really well. I had a good time doing it. And when I watched the interviews, no, because obviously I know I'm the most critical of myself when I watch. I actually thought that I did very good, very well.
Right.
So for me to think that, then, you know, anyway, these videos are on my Facebook page and obviously on RX Muscle. You got to see one, right?
Yeah, I saw the one with Tracy where she does the little handstand. What do they call? What kind of walk do they call it?
I call it the scorpion. But
the scorpion. Yeah, it was very cool.
Yeah, it was neat, and Dave put in some music at the end, and I just liked the whole process, and I had a good time doing it.
Yeah, good.
It didn't make me as nervous as I thought it made me.
What you should do is develop when you do those interviews, you have to have something unique about you that makes people remember you. You should develop a almost like a stroke, like slur, like Harry like Harry Carey used to use, and Harry Carey. I'm a little drunk right now. I'm calling the game. You should do that and have like and have, let one of your eyes close just slightly more than the other, so it looks like you've had a stroke.
And people, I could start off with like a minor stroke.
Yeah, you know, and then change. Then like fuck with people, like have it the left eye be drooping and then like turn your head to talk to somebody. And then when you come back and look at the camera, have the right eye be the one that's drooping. And people are like, fuck, did his stroke just change sides? That's amazing. Look at that. So, you know, you got to keep, you know, keep people involved, you know, guessing and shit.
I could see that. Like they start rolling and before I start with the RX muscle, I start with like a little vibration and a head like shake. You know, like I'm having like a mild, you know, seizure right there.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And you go to the guest, hey, do me a favor, hold this mic for a second. And you grab your head with both hands and you scream, get out of my fucking head! And then you give it the mic back and go, okay, come on, let's finish this interview.
I might use that
one. Yeah, that's a good one right there.
You never know.
Yeah.
So, I think the interviews were entertaining and that was my goal.
Right.
You know, I thought that, when I approached it, I thought that I would try to see if I could get each person.
Oh, G. Davis says, you don't blink on camera. The coke helps. That's funny, man. G. Davis is on a fucking roll tonight between ripping me a new asshole and fucking calling you names. Huh? He's doing good. He's okay. Who is G. Davis? I don't remember him. Who is he?
He's been on for a little while. He's been very active the last few threads.
He's funny, man.
So what else, Carl?
That's it. We got to take a break and bring a guest back, right? Who's coming on? Oh, fuck. The guy who stood us up last week. And I'm betting you right now $10 that he's going to stand us up again because he thought that standing us up the first time was funny. He's going to think it's even funnier the fucking second time.
Yeah, so Young Guns. Okay, Young Guns. Yeah. First of all, we're going to do Zach Kahn first, Young Guns.
Oh,
second.
Okay. All right.
But Young Guns, that is a good segue because I didn't want to talk about that. He was supposed to be on the show last week and he stood us up and gave us the number of the Manitowoc Inn or something, right?
Did you tell him the message we left on their voicemail?
I am assuming he listened to the show to see our reaction, right? Yeah. So I didn't even mention it, but he gave me a new number and he said he still wants to do it. So I called him, and to be honest with you, I was half expecting it to be some other Utah.
Yeah, the Bronx Zoo or some shit.
Yeah, something like that, like the Manitowoc Zoo. You know? Right. So that's what I was expecting, and he actually answered, and it's his home phone number. So, you know, he says he wants to do it, and he says that he wanted to do it before. And in one of the posts on a different thread, he said that was his work number. So I don't know if he thought he was going to be there to answer the phone or what. But
okay.
When I did ask him, he thought it was funny, I suppose.
Right.
And I said something to that extent. So tonight we are expecting him to be on after Zach Kahn, but there is the possibility that he won't be on at all.
Yeah, that so really sucks. Awesome. I hope he doesn't do it again, man. Because it'll be boring the second time. It won't be funny. The first time it was funny. The second time it'll be you're a douchebag.
Yeah, we're not even gonna leave a message this time.
Yeah, yeah.
It will be a sad waste of one of your last shows to not have anybody. Because he's got some. This kid has got. I think he's 21 or something like that. He's got a lot of conspiracy theories, and I think it'd be interesting to hear his thoughts on why President Bush decided to blow up the buildings for 9/11.
Yeah, oh, everybody knows that. Everybody knows. You know what? I don't even want to say it because I'm going back to Louisville. But I know somebody else who believes that the 9/11 was perpetrated by the U.S. government. And I don't know. I just think that's funny when people say shit like that.
Well, we're going to have to see what he has to say. Apparently, he's got some logic behind this. He's like really, really studied this stuff. So I'm sure he's got a good response or retort.
But where did he study it? On the fucking internet where all this stupid propaganda is to begin with?
Exactly. Yeah. You know, it's funny. On one of his threads, he puts out one of these – as proof that he's correct, he puts out one of these – a link to a video that's like a total propaganda, you know, 9/11 conspiracy theory videos. He's like, look, it has 7 million views, see?
Yeah, right. There's more than 7 million nuts out there. So, all right, listen, let's do that. Let's take our commercial break. When we come back, we'll do the Zach Kahn interview, which is lots of fun. You're listening to Off Topic Radio, and you're listening because you love to hear my voice. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there is no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormone optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
Welcome back to Off Topic. You want to intro this piece, Aaron?
Well... Basically, it's our interview with, we taped this interview because Zach Kahn, as he says in the interview, is, this will be past his bedtime, because right now this will be, what, 2 a.m. or so?
At least.
Yeah, something like that in London.
And he's not as bulletproof as Giles is, who fucking stays up all night to be on the show with us and then trains legs in the morning. You know what I mean?
No, definitely not.
Giles is a fucking real man, baby.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yes, exactly. Well, so we interview Zach, and it was a good interview, and I'm excited to be the first one to have him on the radio since his Weider contract ended. So,
did he do anybody's radio show while he was a Weider athlete?
No.
So this is his first radio interview then.
I don't remember. If he was on anybody's show, it would be Pro Bodybuilding Weekly with Dan Solomon and Bob Chiarello, but yeah. I can't remember him doing it. So. Yeah. He might have done it right at the first week because he did Dave Palumbo's interview with them. Remember, we were trying to get him. Do you remember?
Yeah.
And John Hodgson was supposed to hook us up with Neil Hill. Who was
I remember that. You
know, and I was in touch with these guys in the UK right after the British Championships. And John Romano got in there and snuck in there and took him right before us.
Right.
Remember, it was like a big deal.
Because they told us not to – because we had been speaking to him and then they usurped us. They circumvented us. All right, well, let's go ahead and play this interview. Here we go. One.
Welcome back to Off Topic Radio, and I'd like to welcome our guest, very highly anticipated, Zach King Kahn. Zach, welcome to the show. There he is, the big monster himself.
Yes. Don't know about big now, but... I'm half monster.
You've lost, how much weight have you lost now, Zach?
About a couple of ounces.
Couple of ounces.
So I'm about 10 pounds from my normal body weight where I usually be. So I'm not doing too bad. I'm getting back up there slowly but surely.
When we saw you, when I saw you at the Olympia, you were looking pretty. I mean, you were at least 275, 280, huh?
Yeah, I'm about that much. I was looking tonk, like they say. So, you know, I had to up my game, knowing that I'm coming down to see the fans. So, I didn't want to upset the guys by bringing a 190 Zach Kahn athletic build with his speedos on.
Well, let's first talk about Zach. Let's start with the injury, man, so we can get this over with. You know, we heard a lot of reports and stuff like that, but I haven't really heard from you how the injury happened, you know, where you were, how it happened, and the result of everything.
Okay. Basically, the injury happened in my gym. Basically, as you guys know, I usually train quite heavy and, you know, balls to the wall type of training. And I've been taking training light for a couple of weeks by, you know, doing a lot of repetition, but it was just one of them days I felt strong and I felt, you know what, I put on 3 plates on hack squat, did 25 reps, then I did put 4 plates on, did 20 reps, put 5 plates on, did 15, then put 6 plates on, did 12 reps, and then I put 7 plates on, and basically, I was getting the reps out, no problem, no aches, no niggles, no pain, nothing to say to me, Zach, this is too much, stop doing what you're doing. Basically, I was on my third rep, and I was at the bottom, just about to power back up, and all of a sudden, I heard like somebody coming up to you and slapping you hard on your knee. And it felt like that. It was just like somebody like slapped me on my knee. Then all of a sudden, somebody slapped me on my other knee. And then the weight like fell back on me. Looking for my training partners were there to stop the weight crushing my ankle, because my ankle flipped back on itself. And after that, once the weight was off me, I knew that I had torn something or hurt myself seriously. Because,
so both knees? You did both knees?
Yeah, both knees.
Oh,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah. So, you know, like people always said to me, Zach, you know, you must be a bummer that you injured yourself and everything like that, just when you're going to make your pro debut. Yeah, it's a bummer, you know what I mean? Things happen. Everything happens for a reason. That's the way I believe in life. And it was meant to happen, so you just got to get on with it and just get back on track again, because, you know, end of the day, as you know, in any sport or walk of life, you're not going to let something defeat you straight away. You got to do what you can. It's like with me, I'm a stubborn fucker, so unless God himself comes down and says, Zach, you're never going to compete again, then I'll take his word. But if just a guy comes up to me and says, or critics come up to me and say, Zach, you're never going to compete again. Basically, I can suggest that to them, well, we will see. Watch this thing.
So what actually snapped on your knee? What muscle, tendon, ligament, what did you snap?
The patella. The patella at all.
The knee, yeah. Hold the kneecap in place and comes down from the front of the quadricep muscle, sure.
Yeah, that's what I told, yeah. So basically, like when I went to the hospital, they did an MRI scan and they told me what happened, and they said to me, I told them I'm a bodybuilder professional now and I don't want a really bad scarring to show from this and stuff like this. So the doctors were sympathetic, and really my scars are not that bad, as you can see from the pictures or you've seen in magazines. And basically, they did a good job, and like the doctor says to me, was Zach, look, you did both of them at the same time. I know it sounds bad, but because now at least you know that you're training both of them up at the same rate, so one leg is not stronger than the other, and you're helping the tendons heal up as well, and you're taking it one step at a time, and you will get back to full mobility as long as you follow the rehab program. But if you try to rush it stuff, of course you're going to hurt yourself again. So that's why I'm taking it one step at a time.
What sounds scary about the injury, Zach, is that although 7 plates is a ton of weight to me, it sounds like you could have normally that wouldn't have been a crazy amount of weight for you.
No, I'm doing up to 10 plates and for reps. Like it's just one of them things. I don't know. You know, I swear to God, I'm one of them trainers there. Basically, if I feel a little niggle in my wrist or my chest or something, I say, you know what, back off a bit, Zach. You know what I mean? I use my initiative, and you know what I mean, and basically my sixth sense. And sometimes, you know, your body's telling you, you can't outdo this today, so back off it. But I felt great. I felt good. That's the strangest thing about it, what I don't understand until this day.
Yeah, that's the scary thing. That's whenever, you know, it sounds like a lot of times it seems like people hurt themselves a lot of times when they're not doing the heaviest weight, when they're just working up to it, you know?
Yeah, that's what the craziest thing about it is, yeah. It's like sometimes you might be warming up on something stupid and pull a muscle or something like that, and you've heard so many stories go on, like, you know, somebody just pulled their bicep just by putting some weight back on the rack or something like that, you know? So, yeah, it's one of them crazy situations. But, you know, end of the day, like I said, I got hurt doing something I love doing, and that is going into the gym and training my balls off, you know. It would have been a lot worse for me, God forbid, I had a car accident and hurt my legs that way. At least I know I hurt my legs in the gym, as a soldier, battling it out, and these are my... what's it in a war wound, you know? So, end of the day,
your battle scars.
Yeah, my battle scars. So I just gotta pick myself up and, you know, get back out there again and do what I gotta do. End of the day, I'm not gonna sit at home and feel sorry for myself, you know. And I don't want people to feel sorry for me either. That's the least thing I want, because
I don't feel sorry for you. Don't worry about it.
Hey Zach.
Now let me ask you a question. Did the doctors say that the patella tendon will heal as strong as it was before, or did they give you any type of warnings like, hey, you're not going to be able to do that kind of weight again?
No, the doctor said to me, it's like, you just explained it to me in layman's terms, saying, basically, you know, if you weld a piece of metal together against another piece of metal, that welding bit's going to be stronger than before.
That's
so
true.
Yeah. Yeah. So they said the weakness will be from somewhere else, but not from there. You will never, ever tear that part again.
Right. That's right. That's true, because where the weld bead is, that's stronger than the two pieces of metal that it's connecting. So you're right.
Yeah. So basically, he explained to me that term. So he says to me, at first, when you're training, of course, you're going to have that good instinct. You're going to feel scared of the weight. You're going to feel like you're hurting yourself because, you know, you're going to snap out of it and slowly start putting the weight on, not intensity, but start putting the weight on week by week a little bit. And before you know it, you'll be back up to where you were before. So end of the day, you know, you hear a lot of stories, people saying, oh, you know, you can't come back from this injury and stuff like this. You know, end of the day, what I've noticed from the past is bodybuilders who have had these injuries and never come back from it is, number one reason is they've been pressurized to compete within a certain time. And I will never fall into that trap where I will compete within a certain time and rush myself and hurt myself again and force other injuries. I will take my time until I am ready. As you know, once you're a pro, Aaron, and you step up on stage, you're open to a world of criticism. And no way I would want to let my fans down and let my supplement company down, Utrex, by standing up on stage is not 100% Zach Kahn. What is the point?
Right, absolutely. Let me ask you, Zach. The reason we're able to talk to you right now is because you're no longer with Weider. Do you think that the injury prevented them from re-signing you?
And basically, you know, I can't really speak for on their behalf, basically. Like, you know, I don't know what they're thinking, basically. It could be yes, but end of the day, for me, that is just puts more fuel to my fire, saying, the more doubters I have, the more I'm going to prove them wrong. You know? So, end of the day, of course, it has got the contributions to it. Of course, if you think normally, yeah, I've been injured for so long, so they're thinking to themselves, oh, yeah, well, why sponsor is that now? Because, you know, he's probably never going to come back anyway. But, well, we'll see about that. I will come back, and I will be in front cover of another magazine, and I will be on that Olympia stage. and thus mark my words. And I'm not the type of guy to, you know, give up that easy. The worst thing somebody can do to me is doubt me, because then I would love to prove them wrong.
Right. Well, that's definitely a good attitude to have. I've been noticing since you stopped. Obviously, one of the things with Flex and Weeder is that their online board, flexonline.com, yes, is very, very slow. And yeah, you weren't able to really post anywhere else, but now since you have... You've been everywhere.
Basically, the thing about it is, I felt like, you know, being sponsored by a publication magazine like Flex, of course, you know, it was my dream as a kid being sponsored by Flex, being in the cover of Flex and stuff like that, but it stopped me from reaching out to my fans and talking out to my fans. At least now, I'm not sponsored with no publication magazine. I can talk to whoever I want. I can reach out to whoever I want. I can do whatever I want. I have not got no one telling me I need to compete on a certain time, certain era, whatever, a certain show. I am my own man now. Thank God that I've got new tracks, and you know, I've got a good relationship with them, and they really understand me, what I'm going through. And every time when the boss of New Trek emails me, he always says to me, "Zach, you're doing great in the blog. Just don't rush it. You know what I mean? Take your time." And it's good to have a company who's willing to, you know, say to you, "Take your time and not pressurize you."
Right. And New Trek has done something interesting with you, with the injury. Instead of looking at this as a loss, like, "Oh, there goes our star guy," they've been featuring you in these video blogs, documenting your progress as you get better.
Because, you know, the main reason for the blog was like this, because, you know, I heard so many people say to me, "Oh, you know, Zach Khan, he's just a steroid freak, and he's gonna, now he's had this injury, he's gonna be walking around at 190, he's gonna be ready to top himself like most bodybuilders are." They saw what's self-absorbed in themselves, and they saw what's, you know, self-conscious about themselves. They don't want to be out shown in the most vulnerable state. I thought, you know what? I'm going to show you in my most vulnerable state, because my most vulnerable state is going to be my most powerful state. And I want to do a blog to help New Trek out, because I felt bad. I thought, you know, instead of being out of the public eye, I can use this and show people. You know, not many bodybuilders have shown their injuries. They hide away for 6 months and they come back again. And I didn't want to do that. I wanted to reach out to the fans and say to them that, "Look, us IFBB pros, we are human. We do get injured. And this is what you got to do. You got to think positive and you got to get through this. It's no point sitting on your ass and crying and getting your missus, you know, feel sorry for you and cook your food for you. Get up your own fucking ass and do your stuff and get on with it. You're a soldier. You know what I mean?" And
right.
the longer you're going to feel sorry for yourself, the worse it's going to be for you. You're going to snap out of it.
Right, absolutely. That's definitely a good attitude to take. Well, we saw you at the Olympia, or I saw you at the Olympia. I don't know. Carl,
I did. I saw you, but you were busy signing autographs and talking to fans, and I didn't want to come and interrupt you. And, you know, so I just kind of, I did see you at a booth. Actually, there.
At the New Trek's booth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should have come over and said hi, Carl. I might would have given you a wedgie.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of, man. That's, I don't want to get any wedgies. I got those in high school, man. I don't want any more of those.
But Zach, how was your Olympia experience? Was that your first Mr. Olympia?
No, I went to watch the Mr. Olympia about 5 years ago, but it was my first time. I was there to meet the fans and stuff. It was unreal, like, because, you know, people come all around the world and all around the states to come and see you, and they say, "Oh, use that King Kong. And it's like, I find it strange because I'm not used to that. Here in the UK, bodybuilding is not such a big thing. It's like, nobody hardly knows you here unless they're in the know and the sport. Apart from that, they just see you and they just think, you know, he's a 300-pound dumbass walking around, you know what I mean? He's got eaten the habit, or he's got some allergic reaction to something. He's got all this swelling all over his body.
He's all swollen up, huh?
Yeah, but you haven't seen nothing yet, love. Wait till I put my pants down.
So Zach, it was overwhelming. I mean, the amount of people that came up to you, I mean, just that I saw, it was like one after another, right?
Yeah, it was crazy. It's just like, you know, a lot of the people who came up to see me, they were like, they said, you know, said to me like they loved watching the blogs and they felt, you know, they got some inspiration out of it and they felt like, you know, it made them see training in a different way and it gives them that kick up their ass to do something as well, you know. If I can make one person feel good about itself, I've done my job as Zach King Kong, you know, being a pro. I have motivated somebody to better their life.
Right.
And I feel good about myself then.
Zach, on the RX Muscle board not too long ago, somebody posted a picture of you when you were like 14 and you were already ripped up and like in shape. Was that just genetics or were you already lifting weights that young?
No, the only thing I was doing then was, you know, it was crazy because, it was funny because, you know, one day my brother bought this movie and it was Rocky III movie where Rocky fought B.A. Brackett, Mr. T. And I just saw that movie and I saw Rocky's physique in that movie. I said, damn. I go, that looks awesome, Dad. You know, you had the six pack and you had the chest and stuff. And as you are a little kid, you know, you start copying stuff. And
right.
So I started doing skipping and I started doing press ups and I started doing sit ups and stuff like that. And I just started getting the development from that basically. It was crazy at the time because I didn't even really think. When I look back at my pictures now, I realize I had a decent physique, but at the time you don't think that.
Yeah, but I mean, for 14 years old, that's pretty crazy. So at that time, you didn't realize the genetic potential you had. You didn't, like, the other 14 year olds weren't like, what the hell?
Yeah, it's funny because when I was young, I always used to have competition with me other mates and stuff like that. Who can do the most press ups and who can do the most chin ups, stuff like that. I was always used to be into like something to do physical activities, you know. And then basically a few years down the road, what's it now? After that, I took up boxing when I was older on. And after that, I watched the Commando movie and the Predator movie, and I saw Arnold Schwarzenegger, and I thought, oh my God, this guy is unreal. And I thought, what the hell do you have to do to look like that, you know? And so basically, my dad bought me a set of weights, you know. Then and so the only thing you think about training at the time is your bicep and your chest. Then until you realize you got carrot legs, you know what I mean? So you start, you know, as the years go by, you start training more of your body, and then after a bit, you become more of a bodybuilder, I guess, then, you know, because you start realizing your shoulder has got three different muscles, your chest has got upper chest, lower chest, you know, you got your quads, you got your hamstrings, you got your calf, and you start, you know, developing more knowledge about bodybuilding, and then I started reading the magazines and learning a lot more.
How old were you when you first competed?
I did my first show when I was 21, just under 21. Yeah, it was 21s and unders, and I was about 20 years. I was about 19 or 20 years old at the time, and I won that show. It was a local show.
How many kilograms were you?
I think I was about around 215 at the time, you know, in pounds, you know what I mean?
215.
So,
and when's the first year you did the British Championships? I know you did it a bunch of times.
The first year I did it was when I was 24 years old.
And were you already Zach King Khan by then?
No, I was just I was just mini Zach then. So I competed at 24, and you know, at that time I lacked a lot of a lot of the size compared to the older guys, because, you know, just coming up from a junior into the men's category was like a big step. But in my first year, I got fourth place, so that was good. So, you know, not too bad.
Right, not bad at all. And you have to get a pro card. We talked to Giles and a bunch of other British guys, James Llewellyn and John Hodgson. So you have to win the overall at the British Championships to get a pro card, right?
Yes. The class winners don't get a pro card. You have to win your class, and then you have to win the overall to get your pro card. So it's not easy feat there.
No, not at all. Not at all. Now, what are your other inspirations in bodybuilding, Zach? Like, above and beyond Arnold Schwarzenegger, I mean, when you're looking at the magazines.
It's like, you know, inspiration-wise, I respect different bodybuilders for different reasons. I respect Jay Cutler. You know, he's a good businessman, and, you know, he's a good person, and he represents, you know, the Mr. Olympia well. And I like his attitude, you know. He's friendly, he comes across, and he introduces himself to any up-and-coming star. It's like I remember I was sat at the Arnold Classic when I went last year, and he come up to me and introduced himself, and he goes to me, "Hi, Zach, welcome to the pros," you know what I mean? And that's Mr. Olympia coming out, he's really saying that to you, and, you know, you feel, that's nice of him. That's how a Mr. Olympia should be, an ambassador to the sport. It shouldn't be about bodybuilders being full of themselves and thinking people should come up to me and respect me, and if they don't talk to me, then suck them, you know?
Right.
And, you know, then other people are respectful. Other reasons, like Ronnie Coleman, of course, you know, winning Olympia that time and taking bodybuilding to a next level is just, you know, it was crazy at the time. So, and of course, Donnie Yates for his blood and guts when he first came in, you know. Just different people for different things, basically. I can't really say there's one bodybuilder who I like. I respect every bodybuilder for their own different things. Because, you know, once you're IFBB pro, you would have to have done something special to get there, and you would have to bust your balls to get there. So everybody deserves credit, and where credit is due, they're a pro, and you start back on the bottom of the barrel again, and you've got to work your way up to make a point and, you know, place top in the pro shows.
Sure. You mentioned Dorian Yates. What kind of interaction?
We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and pick up from Aaron's question about Dorian Yates. You're listening to Off Topic Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Speciesnutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
You're listening to the Superhuman Channel. We're ripped and we're ready.
Welcome back to Off Topic Radio. We're going to get right back into the interview with Zach Kahn. Obviously, we're playing Shaka Khan as we come out of the break.
You have to post your balls to get there. So everybody deserves credit, and where credit is due, they're a pro, and you start back on the bottom of the barrel again, and you've got to work your way up to make a point and, you know, place top in the pro shows.
Sure. You mentioned Dorian Yates. What kind of interactions do you have with him, with you both being out there in England? Didn't you work with him for a little while?
Yeah. I trained with Dorian for quite a bit, a few years back, and it was a good experience. He made me take my training to the next level, because I thought I was training hard until I met him, and basically I realized I was training like a woman. So the experience I got from him was good. It's like, you know, Aaron, you know, everybody has found their blueprint of training, nutrition, and everything. That's why, you know, for me, the more people I talk to, the more bodybuilders that I train with, the more people meet and contact with, you know, you start taking little bits of the jigsaw puzzle and start making the complete blueprint for yourself, realizing, you know, this type of training works for me. I've tried this now. This doesn't work for me. This type of dieting and nutrition works for me. So on and so on. So you get that most complete blueprint. As you know, that you interview 10 different bodybuilders, they will give you 10 different answers. So basically, you just got to take the best bits out of everyone and make that good, best blueprint for yourself and know what works for you.
Right, and so with Dorian, he helped you some with training. You took some of that away and used that in your training, huh?
Yeah. I took away his training ideas and his intensity level. That was just awesome, you know. And, you know, then basically he nearly helped me with the nutrition side, and that was great because he made me reach the condition I needed to reach to win the pros, you know what I mean? And basically, when I was looking at the old videos of Arnold from Pumping Iron, I realized this guy, he loves bodybuilding, but bodybuilding isn't his life. He can turn off and enjoy his life apart from bodybuilding. You know, don't get me wrong, don't get me wrong, Aaron, I'm a bodybuilder. I love bodybuilding. But do I want to be sat in a room of bodybuilders for 24/7? I doubt it. You know what I mean? As much as I love the sport, I'd rather be with normal guys and have a laugh and a joke and not even talk about training. But when it comes time to walk into the gym, as soon as I step into the gym, switch on straight away and time to fucking train, balls to the wall, and fucking as soon as I get out of the gym, it's over. I've done my job. I don't want to talk about the workout. I just want to go home and feed myself. Full stop. Forget about the workout. Forget about the workout. Don't even talk about the reps. Don't even update your Facebook status and say that I did 800-pound squats, 5 reps, 6 reps, and went to the bar later. Forget about that. It's over. You know what I mean?
Right. Actually, we have a listener question that relates to what you just said. He said he wants to know that he says, on occasion you've talked about getting angry, that you have to get angry to lift a really heavy weight. What do you think about to get really angry before you lift the weight?
At the end of the day, you've got to think of, you know, for me, it's like, you know, the disappointments in my life and, you know, basically, as and when, I just remember the time when people used to say to me, Zach, you're never going to be a pro. You're never going to make it. Pack it up now. You know, why are you wasting your time for this? Lord, there's only a handful of guys who can make it. And, you know, basic stuff like that. And when I was younger, the little fat kid who used to steal my Lego set, you know what I mean? Where is that fat kid now? So I can knock him out. you gotta use your own personal experience and get that rage into you. Because, you know, for me, I use the weights to get that anger, a stressful day out on something, what's happened that day to really peed me off. You know, it's a good way to get that anger out. So use that anger in the gym. And once you go out of the gym, you'll feel relieved and you'll feel a lot better.
You know, Kai Green actually says the same thing, that you have to have that anger inside of you to train the way that you need to put on that kind of muscle.
Yeah,
do you think that's necessary for everybody?
I think it's, put it this way, you know, there's some people I've seen train, and I can't mention no names because it'd be unfair, but they're just so genetically gifted and they just train, and I just think to myself, the way they train is just like a walk in the park, you know what I mean? They're so, and then there's some guys who really have to, you know, dig in deep and go beyond failure and bust your balls off to get wherever you want, and, you know, and if you can't, you know, for me, it's good because I have to train that way. If I didn't have to train that way, then it wouldn't be a challenge for me.
Right.
Like you said, if something comes too easy for you, it won't be special.
Right, absolutely.
And it's all about consistency. You've got to be consistent with your food, your training, your lifestyle, everything, you know. Everything's got to be consistent. You can't just eat good 3 days a week or 4 days a week or 5 days a week and go clubbing on the weekend and just have two meals then back on Monday back to your diet again and everything. You know, you're going backwards, you're going like a yo-yo, you're going up and you're going back down. Then they're wondering, these kids are wondering why they're not improving, because, you know, to be a pro, when I was an amateur, I was training like a pro and eating like a pro and doing everything like a pro. If you're not doing it already as an amateur, then you're not going to be a pro.
Right. It makes sense.
It's like if you want to be a 300-pound bodybuilder, you got to eat like a 300-pound bodybuilder.
Right. Absolutely.
There's no point eating like a 250-pound bodybuilder because you're not going to get up to 300 pounds.
Right.
The purpose.
So, Zach, you've been traveling quite a bit. Before the accident and everything, you're traveling for new treks and doing posing and stuff like that. You met a lot of other pro bodybuilders. I'm sure you probably met a majority of them, right?
Yeah, I met Ronnie Coleman. I met Gio Cutler. I met Phil Heath, Dennis James.
With that in mind, who is your favorite and who is your least favorite that you've met so far? In terms of personality.
I gotta say, Jay was awesome and Kai Green was awesome. You know what I mean? They really had time for me and they really, like, you know, had a good chat with me and stuff like this. And, you know, then you just get certain body builders who are really very, you know, talkative or something, you know what I mean? So, you know, it's disappointing sometimes because, you know, when you're young and you see these guys in these bodybuilding magazines, and then, you know, when you go up to a pro and you expect something from the pro, and then you walk away thinking, you know what? He was a disappointment because, you know, he didn't really answer any of my questions. It was just, like, really not really bothered us unless I had big tits and a big ass, you know what I mean?
So I might have to
work on that then.
So which one was that?
I can't mention no name. I'm not like that.
I bet you I can guess, but I'm not gonna. I won't guess.
You probably could guess.
I can probably.
I'll text you later.
All right. Okay. So the next thing I wanted to ask you about is your family. You said your dad was the first one to buy you your weight set. Is your family supportive of bodybuilding and what's going on in your life?
You know what? My family is so great. And you know, like I said to people, that, you know, when I was younger, whatever I wanted, my dad bought it me. He's like, you know, he was always... He did anything for me to keep me off the streets because, you know, where I was brought up was a rough neighborhood and a lot of people were getting into crime and people were getting locked up and there was a lot of shooting, stabbing, stuff like that. So, you know, it was like you got to able to handle yourself, you know, on the streets and stuff like this. And, you know, my dad bought me weights and I went boxing and stuff like that to able to protect myself. And, you know, to this day, like my dad, you know, I mean, he's still proud of me. Even if I never made it as a pro bodybuilder, he's still proud of me, knowing that I've kept myself out of prison and basically my dad can walk around with his head held high and be proud of his son, you know. So end of the day, I'm there for my family now, you know. As your parents get older, they get less mobile, get less agile. So, you know, I make sure that at least once a day I pop through and see my dad. If I don't pop through and see my mum and dad, my mum will whip my ass.
Do you have any brothers and sisters?
Sorry?
You have any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I've got two brothers and one sister. My sister is a dental nurse, so she's got the brains in my family. My younger brother is just, what can I say, the term hood rat.
He's a hood rat.
My older brother, he's into the security thing, so what's it in our field? So basically, yeah, my young brother, he runs the gym while I'm out and about, so he's okay, he helps out, he's a good guy, yeah. So it's all fun.
You own a gym, Zach?
Yeah, I own the gym. You know the new Trek Atlas you see, where a lot of people think it's a studio? That is my gym, with all the good PC on the wall. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, the King Kong DVD, if you ever seen that on YouTube, that is my gym.
Oh, cool. That's cool. Yeah. So you have your brother running it when you're not there, huh?
Yeah, my brother is running it. You've got to keep it in family. You know what it's like. Come on. Too many untrustable people in this world, I'm straight.
Sure. So how would you compare, Zach, bodybuilding in the USA, like amateur bodybuilding in the USA, because I know you've seen a lot of shows now, compared to amateur bodybuilding in England?
Simple fact is, amateur bodybuilding in England, no recognition at all, no supplement companies are willing to sponsor these athletes. It's like, you know, in America, if you're an amateur, and you're entering the USA, these guys, all the fans and people already know these guys before they even turn pro.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean? So it's a different level altogether. It's in the UK, these guys don't get nothing at all. So everything that you do, you do it off your own hard back, and, you know, you have nobody helping you out. Only if you're very, very, very fortunate and you're 1%, you will have somebody helping you out with the supplementations and, you know, with a bit of financial support. But really, apart from that, you don't get jack here, tell you straight. So that's what people don't realize is that, you know, to make it as a pro in the UK, it's 10 times as hard as in America due to the fact that
You have less credibility here. People don't want to sponsor you because they're thinking, what are they going to get out of it here? In the USA, it's different. You've got so many shows, you've got so many expos for your athletes to go and work the booths and stuff like this to give back to the companies. Here, there's not much you can do.
Well, I know you're part of organizing the British Grand Prix in 2011, right?
Yeah, I was organizing it before until I got injured, so I had to step down and concentrate on my own injury here. And so basically, I felt like, you know, I didn't want to be stressing myself out and putting on this Grand Prix and stuff. So I left that to Neil and read a publication to sort out, because I just thought to myself, you know, Zach, you've injured yourself and you're going to be putting on one of the biggest shows in the UK. What's most important to you, your health or the show? And I thought straight away, my health is most important. And if I was still doing the Grand Prix, I wouldn't be recovering as quick as I am at the moment.
Right.
So I made the right choice.
It would be, I'm sure it would be very stressful to try to promote that show.
Yeah, it's like this, Aaron. You know, when people put on shows, how much work is involved, and you're hardly, it's very hard to fill our auditorium up with people, because, you know, it's not cheap hiring out these venues, and it's in half of the time, most of these shows make a loss as well, so... You know, you gotta dig in deep, and the fans have got to dig in deep in the UK and support this show, because they've got to realize, you know, it's been 9 years since there has been a British Grand Prix. So if you guys want to see the pros from America, dig in deep into your pocket and buy a British ticket and stop complaining and saying there's no pro show in the UK.
Right, this is an opportunity for the fans to make sure the show comes back next year.
Yeah. This is an opportunity for people in the UK to get to see the American bodybuilders who are Olympia caliber at their home turf. And, you know, if they're not going to dig in deep now, then forget about it. Never, ever complain again, because, you know, if you can't help out in your home soil, then what's the point?
In reality, Zach, people from all over the area, all over Europe, should really go, because this show being successful will help have more shows, more Grand Prix shows around Europe.
Yeah, that's cool, because at the moment, you know, there's not many Grand Prix no more compared to, you know, 5 or 8 years ago. There used to be a Grand Prix in Amsterdam, a Grand Prix in Belgium, a Grand Prix in Germany, a Grand Prix in Russia. You know, Hungary, all these places, and now, like, it's so, in Europe, there's hardly none at the moment. So,
right.
all these European countries should be thinking, wow, we got a Grand Prix in Europe, in UK, and, you know, what more can we ask for? It's in London, we'll get to spend a good weekend there, enjoy the scenery, everything, and what's going to compete at the same time. So, we're in a win-win situation, and there will be an expo as well. So there will be so much going on. You cannot go wrong at all.
Well, I will definitely be there. So
will you really, Aaron?
Yeah. Oh, I'm going for sure. I already got my passport. Yeah. I had to renew my passport. So I'm definitely going.
You're not gonna swim there, are you?
No, I'm gonna do a rowboat.
There you go.
Very economical, Carl. I'm leaving next weekend.
When is the competition? Because you may want to leave soon.
Yeah, I'm going to have to leave next week, but I'll make it there.
Hey, Zach, are you originally from the UK? I hear an accent there that sounds to me like Barbados or something like that sometimes.
Oh, my God, Barbados.
Barbados, where'd you get that?
No, I don't know. I mean, I hear an accent that doesn't sound like it's just from the UK. Are your parents from, or any of your ancestors from the British West Indies or something like that?
No, my dad's from Kashmir, and my mum's from Egypt. So
oh, really? Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Egypt, the cradle of life, right? Everything started in Egypt, man.
So I've got my mixture of nationalities from there. So
very cool.
Yeah. people usually say I've got a weird, strong British accent, you know what I mean? So, but eating Barbados, that's a compliment.
That's the first time for Barbados, huh?
Yeah.
Right. I wish I lived there and not in this bloody cold country. I'll be happy.
I know. Barbados is beautiful.
Yeah, I have to go there someday.
So, Zach, let's talk about women. Are you a single guy or you got some women or what's the deal? You got a woman?
Aaron, you know how it runs. You know what I mean? I'm a pimp daddy.
You gotta keep your pimp hand strong, right?
Yeah, it's like this, and then people always say, oh, that's not a good looking guy. You know what? I might not be a good looking guy, but I can talk, you know?
Right.
It's all about talking. Well, what's the point being a good looking guy, eh? And when you got nothing in them hips? You know what I mean? A woman likes a good hydraulic system, where you go pop, 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 pop. You know what I mean?
Right.
Do you get, Zach, when you go to shows and stuff, do you get women fans come up to you? Like bodybuilding groupies?
It's weird because, you know, when I was at the Olympia, it's funny because, you know, sometimes I'll be there signing pictures there, and then you just see, like I'll be talking to just, you know, my friends and stuff, and I just said to the lady, oh, so who are you coming with today then? Or your husband or your boyfriend or whatever? She goes, oh, no, I've come on my own. I just find it strange when women say that, and then they just slip you your business card saying, call me later. I'm like, all right. I'll see what daddy can do.
So, Zach, on Facebook. So, go ahead, Zach. What were you saying?
No, go ahead. Yeah, what were you saying about Facebook?
On Facebook, man, you're very active on Facebook. You're always posting stuff. And a lot of the shit you post is pretty funny. Where you get this stuff from?
You know me, I'm fucking crazy, man. Some of this shit just wasn't. Some of this shit was floating around in my head, you know what I mean? I have to do something with it. End of the day, you know, like I said to you, Aaron, before, it's like, you know me, I'm a bodybuilder, but, you know, I like people to know that, you know, there's more to me than just bodybuilding, you know, end of the day. When it comes down to it, if you want to have a conversation with me about politics, about whatever, you know what I mean, other sports, I can talk about other things. It's not just about bodybuilding with me. If you want to have a laugh and a crack and a joke with me, cool. We can have a laugh and a crack and a joke, you know what I mean?
I'm trying to find him. I don't think I'm friends with Zach.
Prozac Con.
Oh, Prozac Con? Yeah. Okay. Prozac. Yeah. Hey, Prozac, the antidepressant. Prozac Con.
Prozac Con.
Yeah. Prozac Cons and Pros. Prozac.
I bloody need Prozac anyway.
There you go. There you go. Prozac. Oh, dude, what a great picture of you as the with the mask on and stuff.
Jason.
Whose head is that he's holding?
I don't know.
He's holding somebody's head in his hand. He's got the chainsaw. That's scary.
Whose head are you holding on your avatar on Facebook?
Uh-oh. Zach, you there? Zach, I didn't hang up on him. I didn't do anything. I'm just talking along here.
I know it's almost 45 minutes, Carl. You probably decided it was over.
Maybe he did, right?
That's the end of the interview. Thank you, Zach Codd.
Well,
got to get it back. I got it.
All right, hold on. Let me see how I can do it. Hold on. Let me see. Hey, hold on. We're going to finish the interview. Hold on 1 second. Just sit tight for 1 second. Here we go. Zach is back on the line. Let's do what we got to do.
Okay, you want to end the interview now, right?
Well, yeah, because we're over the time, and then I got to splice everything to get out of the little drop out there. So why don't
all right, that's fine.
Who do you let him plug his sponsors?
Yeah, that's what I was going to do. Okay, so you want me to just bring it right back?
Yeah, go ahead. Just bring it right back. I'm going to mark the time right now. Hold on a second. It's 46:40. Go ahead. Bring it back.
So, Zach, we're coming to the end of the interview, and I want to give you an opportunity to thank your sponsors and family, friends, whoever you'd like to thank.
Okay, guys. Thank you for giving me this opportunity, Aaron and Carl. I really appreciate it. And I'd like to also thank Nutrex for standing by me and listening and believing in me. And, of course, you fans out there for sending me these numerous emails and basically, some of you sending me these freaky stalker messages. really touches me in the heart, you know what I mean? And for all you haters out there, of course, I love your messages too, you know what I mean? Without the haters, I couldn't train hard without you guys. But, you know, like I said, I don't expect everybody to like me, so it's just the way life is. Sorry, you know what I mean? I'm sorry that some of you guys can't appreciate me. So, but like I said, Aaron, thank you very much for your time.
Our pleasure, and, man.
Yeah, yeah, Zach, we both appreciate you. Zach, if they want to, if any of your haters, fans, or creepers want to get in touch with you, what is your email address? Or
how do you want them
how
to
do we
reach
get in touch
you?
With you? Yeah.
Basically, they can go onto Facebook, like I'm titled under Pro P R O Zach Khan, Z-A-C-K Khan, K-H-A-N-O-K. They can go to the website www.zackthefreak.com, and basically my email address is on there. They can write to me there if they want. And basically, you know, at the moment, all you guys who have written out to me and, you know, showed their support to me, like I said to you guys before, believe in me like you are all believing in me, and I'll show you guys I will be back sooner than you think.
Hey,
you
Zach,
I mean?
I got a question for you right before we go. Aaron told me you listen to Off Topic. Is that true?
I listen to every shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, of course I listen to Off Topic everything, man. Yes, great way for, you know, fans out there to get to hear the bodybuilders' side of the stories and other supplement companies and other people as well.
Very cool.
Yes.
Very cool. And what time is it? What time is it there in the UK right now? 11 o'clock?
Turn 12 o'clock, and I'm gonna turn into a big hairy gorilla.
There you go. You better go to sleep, Zach. Go to sleep, okay? All right. Thanks for being on the show, Zach.
And I appreciate your guys giving me the time. Thank you very much.
Our pleasure. Our pleasure. Thank you. All right. Okay. We'll see
Thank
you soon.
You much,
okay. Well, there you have it, Zach Khan interview. We're gonna take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're gonna have Young Guns on.
We hope.
And he's going to tell us.
We hope we're going to have Young Guns.
Right. Yeah, that's true. If we don't have Young Guns, we're ending the show. I'm good with that, too. I can get to sleep early tonight. All right, stay tuned. You're listening to Off Topic.
If we don't have Young Guns, do you want to end the show or you want to do a news story?
We'll talk a little bit, and then we'll end the show. All right, stay tuned. Hopefully, we'll have Young Guns come back. Maybe, you know what? Hopefully, we won't. We'll be right back.
Hopefully for you.
Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. speciesnutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species, evolutionary nutrition. The Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit speciesnutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. Speciesnutrition.com.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where brawn and brains finally meet.
Yeah, I'm gonna let this play for a couple seconds. I love this song.
Turn it up.
Kurt Cobain, come back. We miss you. This is a fucking tight song, man. Isn't that the fucking best?
Yes, I still listen to Nirvana.
I love Nirvana, man. Damn. Damn, damn, damn you. Courtney fucking Love.
You think she killed him? That's a good conspiracy.
That, we got to talk. I want to ask our guest tonight what he thinks about Kurt Cobain, too. We have none other than the elusive, harder to find than the guy who actually shot Lee Harvey Oswald. Young Guns, how you doing, man?
Pretty good. How are you?
So what do you think? Nirvana, Kurt Cobain, Courtney Love did it?
I think it's possible, but I think he was murdered for sure.
You don't think he killed himself, huh?
But no. I actually think someone else did it.
Really?
I think someone, not Courtney and not himself.
Wow.
I don't know exactly who, but I think he was starting to to say some stuff that he wasn't, and
I remember one of his songs. He started talking about the New World Order, right?
There you go. He started to learn it too because he's big up in the industry, met a lot of people, and didn't like it.
Dude, I was fucking kidding just now. Okay, he never sang about the New World Order. I was just fucking around with you. Come on,
he wasn't.
He never did. He talked, but he did talk about Courtney Love. And that may be why she got pissed off at him and killed him. He did say that the reason that she named her group Hole is because she had a huge hole, and and that pissed her off because she didn't want people to know that she had a clang banger.
He was a miserable guy, and he blew his own brains out.
Yeah, he very well could have committed suicide. Honestly, anything could have happened, really. I don't know much about that.
Yeah, I'm just fucking
I was just trying to comment.
So now tell me something about yourself. I don't know a whole lot about you. Right. You spend a lot of time on the boards, correct? You're on the
Pretty
boards?
Pretty much, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Not as much as I used to.
Are you a bodybuilder?
Pardon?
Are you a bodybuilder?
Definitely, yes.
Okay, so you train. Okay, have you ever competed?
No, never. Okay. I don't know if I want to.
So tell me about you. How tall are you?
I'm 5'8", and I weigh about 175 pounds right
Excellent,
now.
Man. Excellent. And you're pretty ripped?
I'd say for an average person, I've got a pretty nice build for sure.
Cool.
The ladies notice it all.
Okay, at least so you live
still natural, right, Young Guns?
Yes, still natural.
Oh, you never used any anabolic steroids?
No, definitely haven't gone into that stuff.
When are you gonna do it?
Probably never, because if I do, I think I just get addicted to them. And
there's nothing to be addicted to. Come on. You can't get addicted to anabolic steroids.
You definitely can. Think about it. If you train natural all the time, then you get on that stuff, you never want to go back.
Dude, I did a gram of testosterone a week, and I looked like Zach Kahn in like fucking 6 months. It was unbelievable. I had to stop doing it because nobody recognized me anymore.
I've seen pictures of you. It's hard to believe, actually.
To make sure that nobody knew I was doing it, I injected it into my penis.
Really?
Yeah, it was great.
I heard that's a
great
pretty
stuff.
Effective method. Actually.
Very, very, very effective. Very effective. There's a sight enhancing effect to it too, as well. So that's good.
Oh, yeah?
Yes.
Carl is like the what's the guy's name? I forget his name. We had him on the show. The man with the exploding arms. Greg Valentino. You're like the
Greg
Valentino.
Yes, I'm like the Greg Valentino of synthol penis. Synthol penis. That's it. That's me.
The man whose penis exploded. That's what I mean.
God.
That's pretty sweet.
So anyway, so tell me a little bit about yourself. Like, what part of the world do you live in?
Canada.
I'm calling Canada right now?
You're calling
Oh,
Canada,
fuck. Yeah. I got to hang up. Hold on a second. Hold on. Are you still there?
Pardon?
Are you still there? Shit, I thought I hung up.
I'm still there, yeah.
And so tell me why you did that to us. First of all, did you listen to the show last week?
I actually did.
Now, do you work at that place that we called?
No, I don't. It's just my friend's business.
So he listened to that message we left about the dead body being in the bathroom?
Very possible.
Did you hear that? That was pretty funny,
no,
wasn't it?
No, I didn't. But if you did leave one.
We called on the air when you stiffed us. We called on the air and we left the message and said we just checked into our room and there's a dead body in the bathroom. And then we acted like we were gay. And we're really upset about it because we wanted to have sex in there. And Aaron said, yes, and we want to have sex in the dead body. And I said, yes, but it's a white guy. We'd much rather have a dead black guy. We'd like to make love on a black guy instead. So could you swap the body out with a dead black guy?
Nice. That's, I'm sure they'll appreciate it.
And then we
that.
Left your name. We left your name. We said, I'm in room.
We asked for Young Guns.
Room 16, and they call me Young Guns, I said.
Okay. That's fine then.
Okay.
He's safe then, Carl.
So why did you stiff us last week? Did you do it on purpose?
No, I actually, to be honest, I didn't know the exact time of the show. And, well, I'll be even more honest than that. I got addicted to online poker.
Oh, you've been playing online poker. You making any money?
Not really.
Is it true when you win, you put real money to play online poker, right?
Yeah.
But when you win, they email you and you just print the money out of your computer, right?
No, not really. I'm just losing $500.
Okay. All right. Wow, that's cool. Are you good at poker?
Yeah, I guess so. But I was drunk, so I lost a lot of money that
night. Oh, that sucks. Those cocktail waitresses kept coming by and feeding you drinks. They do that, don't they?
Something like that.
Wouldn't that be cool if you were playing online poker and a girl knocked at the door and goes, "Do you want a drink?" while you're in your house? Yeah, I'll have a gin and tonic. Hurry up back. Bring me a pack of cigarettes, too.
Yeah, actually, my friend's sister does that, so it's all good.
Where? At a casino in Canada?
Yep.
They have casinos there, huh?
Yep, we have a couple.
I didn't know that.
Yep. Canada actually is very similar to the U.S., believe it or not.
I know.
You know that over 90% of Canadians live within 100 kilometers from the American border?
No shit?
We're pretty much, you know, Americans who just...
I know, because think about it. Like the border is like this imaginary delineation. It's like, exactly. why does everything? It's like when you cross the border, why does everything change? It really doesn't.
It doesn't.
Yeah, but they won't even let me over there, Carl. So,
well, why? Because you're a felon.
Yes, convicted felon.
Well, because you're
won't let anybody over there. If you even have tell me if this is true, Young Guns. If you even have a drunk driving thing, they won't let you over there.
I could believe that.
What a stuck-up bunch of fucking assholes, man.
Body scanners and that kind of bullshit.
I don't mind a body scan. I just don't like that something I did 11 years ago will keep me from entering their country.
Yeah. Well, just ask Obama to pardon you and you should be fine.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Why? Is he pardoning people now?
That's the only way I hear that you can actually cross the border if you have something like a felony.
Yeah.
That should be easy. I'll just give him a call tomorrow.
Exactly. Yeah.
So go ahead.
No, you go, Carl. So you're into bodybuilding, but you're also into conspiracy theories. When did you become a conspiracy theorist? Do you have like paranoid schizophrenia or anything like that?
It's very possible that I do. I don't think I do.
Do you smoke a lot of weed? Because people who smoke a lot of weed usually are paranoid.
Do I smoke a lot?
Okay. Do you smoke every day? Are you like Snoop Dogg? Are you like Snoop Dogg? Smoke weed every day?
Maybe every night.
Every night. It makes you sleep, right? Help you sleep?
Pretty much.
But also, weed makes you paranoid. You know that, right?
It can when you are actually under the influence, but I'm very much past that.
You know how like you're all jazzed up to go out with your buddies one night, and you got some weed in the house, and you're like, nah, I better not smoke before I go out, and then fuck it, I'll smoke, and then you smoke.
Yeah.
And then, like, you go to a club, you go to a tavern, and then you're, like, all fucking nervous, like, are people looking at me? Are my eyes red? Do they know I'm stoned?
Oh,
you know, and then you don't, and you want to talk to chicks, and you walk up to them, and you go, hey, you know, oh,
that's 100% true.
Yeah, right? Right? It makes you paranoid. You don't even know what
the that happens. That happens to me every time.
That's why I can't smoke weed, because it makes me paranoid.
Yeah.
Maybe unless you're going to go right to sleep, huh?
Who?
Carl?
Me?
You.
Nah, weed makes you sleep, too. Absolutely.
But anyways, yeah, that has nothing to do with the conspiracy theories. Definitely not.
So tell me, what tell me, you really do believe that the American government perpetrated 9/11 on itself?
No, I believe some people in the American government had some prior knowledge that could have either stopped it. It's impossible to know the exact story. But basically, yeah, powerful people in the government had some knowledge beforehand.
Well, we know that for sure, because we saw President Bush reading a storybook to first graders, and he knew that the shit was going on. He didn't. He just froze. He just sat there.
Yeah, exactly.
But I know what you're saying. Dick Cheney definitely was in on the fucking deal, I think. I think Dick Cheney actually may have known, had intelligence ahead of time, but he didn't want to do anything about
there it. There are way too many facts on the side that it is a conspiracy compared to the actual truth, quote, that the U.S. government tells.
Okay, I'm gonna hit you with some questions. These
wait, I just want to say one thing.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
6 out of 10 of the commissioners wanted to redo it because they said they were basically persuaded into a certain story.
Right, and I've heard that too. Okay, Katrina, natural event or conspiracy?
Probably natural. I mean, definitely natural, but I do think, have you guys ever heard of HARP?
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's scary shit.
Yeah.
No, I've never heard of it.
Yeah, tell them about it. Yeah.
Okay, HARP, spelled HAARP, is right. Basically a antenna that has like a billion watts, and they can focus that on two parts of the atmosphere and actually change like weather. Check it out. There's a lot of really interesting stuff on that.
And you know what AARP is, right?
That's what Carl's a member of.
That's what they do is they have all the old people in the United States who they coordinate their flatulence, and that changes the weather also. They get all the old people to fart at the same time, those dried out dust farts. It creates a dust storm, and that causes precipitation, and then it rains.
Yeah, well, I agree. It's definitely hard for me to convince anyone on air. I'm not saying they do, but if you Google and find YouTube videos of the stuff I say, you will find a lot of really.
Yeah, but don't you think the people who make those fucking videos do that like to get people all?
Certainly not, because most of those videos are clips or entire lectures of prominent people actually speaking down against their own.
Like stuff. Do you read any of this stuff on TED?
Oh, yeah. Actually.
Yeah, TED is good. I really like TED, by the way.
I don't even know what it is. Yeah, TED's awesome. Is this? Sure. Is another thing?
Say it? Pardon?
This is another antenna?
No, TED is a website
anyways,
where they have some of
No. I want to talk about the HARP for a second.
And I'm looking at it. They got a Wikipedia for it. It's called High Frequency Active Auroral Research Program.
Right, I'm going to look it up.
Dude, this fucking antenna is like 15, 20 miles long on the ground. This is amazing.
Yeah, it's crazy.
An ionospheric research program jointly funded by the U.S. Air Force and the U.S. Navy, U.S. Alaska Defense, blah, 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 analyze the ionospheric and investigate the potential for developing ionospheric enhancement technology using radio communication. And ionospheric means the weather. So they're talking about controlling the weather.
Okay, check this out. It takes 30 watts to be able to find out if you have, like, what's in the Earth's core. The crust, like gold, gas, oil, and whatnot.
Right.
And so it only takes 30 watts going through solid rock,
many
meters, and they can tell that. And this is a billion watts.
Yeah, they
just to give you.
Let me give you something even better. It takes 1 watt to talk from the moon to the Earth because of line of sight. So if you're transmitting up into the air and you have no path loss due to buildings and trees and stuff, that billion watts is like multiplied, huge. So this is pretty interesting. Okay, okay, you got me on this one. This is interesting. I'm gonna have to find out more.
Then it wouldn't be it would be natural, but it would be natural by design. If somebody pointed this HARP and directed it to cause Katrina, then it would be. Or you're saying it was possibly accidental?
It was. You know what?
Who knows? It could be accidental. Like I'm saying, there is a possibility. I'm not saying that I. Think
I don't. If it, happen, I don't think it was. I'll tell you right now. If they used HARP, it wasn't accidental because I believe that they've been wanting to get rid of fucking New Orleans and Louisiana in general for a long time. I'm serious, man. I mean,
why? Because it's the chocolate city.
Well, not only that, but I think that you know that it's a lot of evil people live in fucking New Orleans, man. It's a
that's where I'm from.
I know.
About?
Well, there you, my case in point. There you go.
The good conspiracy theory has a great base, and I'm sorry that that's just not a great base.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I was stressing.
Why don't we hear? I want to hear the rationale for the 9/11 thing. Like that I don't get it. So what's the rationale?
All right.
Why would these people want to blow up the Twin Towers and kill all of our citizens?
Because the only way to control a country or a civilization is to stage false flag terror attacks, and then you have to say problem, action, solution, and 9/11 happens, and the only solution is to pass the Patriot Act, and everyone loses all their rights, so the government can do whatever they want, basically, now, and they can invade whatever country they want, you know what I mean? They can say, oh, the terrorist is here. The war on terrorism is never meant to end.
I believe this.
It's supposed to be perpetual.
I'll tell you what portion of this I believe. I believe that Osama bin Laden is dead, and he's been dead for a long time, but the American government is not acknowledging that they killed him, because it gives them the ability to go to a country and say, we think he's in there. You better let us in there, or you're conspiring with a terrorist. And they go, come on in, look around. We don't have him here. And
see, I'll tell you the problem with a lot of these conspiracy theories based around our American government is that I don't believe our government can keep a secret for shit.
Everyone says that, like, they couldn't hide Bill Clinton getting a blowjob. Yeah, like that. That doesn't prove anything at all.
And why would you hide that anyway?
We can't even keep our CIA agents' names private.
No, but then they leak those on purpose. But why would you hide? Why would Bill Clinton hide that he's pulling fucking wool anyway? He should be proud of it. Look, I'm getting blowjobs. Kennedy was proud of it. He was fucking Marilyn Monroe.
Bill Clinton was a pretty big piece of shit, actually, if you actually know his real life.
Yeah, but he got pussy.
And not what the media shows you.
People would re-elect him. This next term, he would beat Obama.
Yeah.
He would be, no doubt about it, he would be reelected. If he could be, he would be.
But think about it. Like, think about how rigged the elections are. There's, 350 million people in America. It just so happens that two Bushes get elected 12 out of 16 years. Like, if anybody doesn't find that fishy, that's fucked up.
Yeah.
And you know that America can pretty much control the world. So just like a father and a son having that much power, it's just insane.
Tell me about, are there any conspiracies going on in Canada?
I don't think so.
Is it not true that all homosexuals are manufactured in Canada and shipped across the border to the United States?
There are a lot of gay people.
But aren't them? You guys make them up there, right? It's like they have a, like, it's an indoctrination.
Them. You're born in there. No.
Yeah. They the government up there goes around and looks at people and go, you know, that guy. And then they trank dart them and they bring them into a clinic,
anal,
and they strap them down to a table. They make them watch 30 hours of Isaac Mizrahi talking about designing clothes, and they lose their ability to get a boner unless they see a guy. And then instead of keeping them in fucking Canada, they put them on a bus and send them to the United States. See?
Carl, yes. You're using precious conspiracy time right now.
I'm sorry. Okay. Yeah. Let's do this. I got an idea. Let's take a commercial break.
I understand. You go.
I'm just fucking with you. Let's take a commercial break, okay? When we come back, I'll let you say whatever you want to say, and I won't interrupt. How's that sound? Because I know people get mad at me when I interrupt anyway.
All right.
You're listening to Off Topic Radio. We're going to come back in just a moment with Young Guns. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. If you're stuck in a rut, looking to compete, want to make your mark in the fitness industry, or just want to look your best, Aaron Singerman can help. Sign up for 12-week, 24-week, or full-year training packages. All packages include training, diet, supplementation, and hormonal optimization plans. Periodic and regular phone consults, email communication, and text messaging included in all plans. Contact Aaron Singerman today at AaronSingermanFitness@hotmail.com.
LG Science's pre-workout performance enhancer Anadrolic State GT has grown exponentially in popularity in recent months. In July, Anadrolic State GT was named 2010 number one pre-workout product by BestRecovery.com, as well as nominated as best pre-workout product by Bodybuilding.com. We here at LG Science's want to give back to you, which is why, for a limited time, we will be giving customers a free 330-gram bottle of BC plus EAA hydrolyzed peptides with each purchase of Anadrolic State GT from bodybuilding.com. That's right. Order Anadrolic State GT at bodybuilding.com now and get your free BC plus EAA. Offer only available while supplies last.
Species Evolutionary Nutrition, the Species line of products champion original thinking and carries that thought process to its logical conclusion in the form of unique supplements that strictly adhere to the core nutritional principles of Dave Palumbo, founder of Species Nutrition. Visit SpeciesNutrition.com to purchase the next generation of high-quality supplements available today that fully adhere to the theory of natural selection, which insists that only the fit survive. SpeciesNutrition.com.
Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
Welcome back to Off Topic Radio. Our guest this hour is the board member Young Guns. We're having some fun, enjoying ourselves, just chilling here on OT. Talking about all the conspiracy theories out there. Okay, good. Run with it, man. You do. Tell me, give me the point by point on what you think is going on here in the United States.
Well, I'll give you the point by point on what I think like the grand conspiracy theory is. And basically that is the New World Order. What the international bankers want is not more money, but they want more control. It's not just the international bankers. It's basically the elite, the people who have billions and billions of dollars, the people with sway. What they want to do is set, well, they have the European Union. They want to make a North American Union that's America, Canada, and U.S. And
the Amero. I've seen this.
Yeah.
In Amero, they want to make that currency. So basically, and then they're going to do an Asian Union, and they want all those to be unionized too, which, who knows, they'll probably do another false flag attack like a World War III and get everyone so scared that they'll say, you know what, we need to definitely do something about terrorism. We definitely need to do something about this. And then they introduce like the RFID chip, which is, you know, an implant, surgical implantable chip that will have like your ID, your money, every single thing on there. And if you disobey them in any way, they can just turn off your chip and you can't participate in society.
But people aren't going to line up for these chips. I know this whole theory because somebody in my family believes this shit and wanted to actually move out of the country. And I was like, what country are you going to fucking move to? And she came to my apartment one day crying, saying that we have to move because they're building, FEMA's building concentration camps at the order of Obama. And anybody who doesn't get chipped is going to go into a concentration camp.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Something like that, anyways. They have a ton of disposable coffins all over the country. Yeah. So, yeah. Like many, many. So, who knows?
Is that a cat in the background? Or?
Yeah, my cat is 21 years old.
No shit.
Wow.
Yeah, man, walking around telling me what's
up.
Dude,
you know, that ain't a fucking real cat. That is a cat. That's a bionic cat that was planted by the government to keep an eye on you. No cat lives to 21 years old, man.
You know, I kind of do believe that.
That's a robot cat. Right now, they're fucking transmit. That cat is transmitting everything you say to a central location. It's being recorded.
It's being analyzed by Echelon, the big computer in the NSA.
There you go. Echelon, right? Echelon does exist. That's a fact. It scans everything that goes on the internet. Looks for words like GH, juice. anal
Carl
probe.
Lenore.
Carl
like
Lenore.
That.
There you go. Guy, what were we going to say, Young Gun?
I want people to Google the Rothschilds.
Those are Jewish people.
Rothschilds.
Right.
Money Masters. And check out the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, and the Bilderberg Group, because those are three institutions that basically run in, I don't even know what I'm trying to say. Basically, they make foreign policy, and they're not elected. So these rich, powerful men have all their friends in there, and they basically, you know, they do free trade and whatnot to just be able to make themselves richer.
So those are three separate searches, Rothschild, Money Master, and then something else.
Yeah, basically just do the Rothschilds timeline through the basically the richest family in the world, and then Money Masters, and just learn how banks were started and how they make money and what they do and how powerful they are and whatnot. And then you'll realize that Bill Gates isn't the most powerful person at all or the richest. It's like the Rothschilds family, who said to have like trillions of dollars. And it makes sense because banks make the most money in the world. And this family has had the oldest banks in the world, and they've been spread all over the world. Yeah.
Okay. AIDS, man-made to wipe out the population of Africa and homosexuals?
Honestly, very, very possible. Very, very possible. Likely, honestly, it's hard to say. Like, there's just not enough facts, but I would not put it against them.
Okay, okay. How about this one? Erectile dysfunction created by the Taliban to break the will of the American people?
Possibly.
I'm serious. That's what I read that someplace. I read that the Taliban is
they don't have the technology, Carl.
You got to stop getting the subscription to Inquirer, though.
Oh, you mean the Inquirer? Oh, so that three-headed baby that the aliens left here is fake?
Yeah, it's actually photoshopped.
Oh,
apparently.
Fuck you,
about,
man. Why?
How about aliens? How about aliens? Are the aliens really here, or are they just on their way?
Aliens.
But, what about them?
Yeah.
I think that they, let's say they did land here and the government knew about it. Do you think they'd ever tell us? Put it
no.
That way.
No.
No, they wouldn't. No. So who knows? Are they out there? Probably.
I know there's a lot of them here in Arizona. I always hear them talking about trying to get them to go back to Mexico.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for that. To my Latino listeners, but I had to say.
How about the Holocaust? That's one that.
Well, I know that's bullshit. So, I know that's bullshit too.
Well, yeah, it did happen, you know, but there weren't these mass, like, usually when people.
It's like six fucking Jewish guys got killed in a.
They just photoshopped it was six Jewish guys on top of each other.
It was a fucking bagel. It was a bagel factory that got caught on fire. Six Jewish guys got killed. And they blow it out of proportion. It's like,
it was just blown out of proportion.
Yeah,
was,
death
was.
Trains and shit. Yeah. Come on. Nobody believes that shit, right? Nobody believes that shit.
Believes what?
The fucking Jews, they propagate that story so it's, oh, help me. You know, fuck that shit, man. They didn't get, none of that shit's real, right? The Holocaust? Hitler was a good guy.
Well. Actually, what? He had the plan of world domination too, the New World Order basically under him. And, yeah,
you know he was monorchid, right?
Pardon?
His testicles didn't drop. He was monorchid.
He actually only had one testicle.
Well, that's it. Monorchid. Diorchid cryptochism is both testicles don't drop. One
and
of them
apparently he was
drop.
Gay.
One of them
and
stayed
apparently
up.
Apparently his dad was Jew or whatnot.
Yeah, and one of his testicles was up in his ass, and the only way he could come was if Eva Braun stuck her finger up his ass and massaged his testicle.
That's possible.
And what happened was... The truth of the matter is that he had a good friend that when he was a kid that was Jewish that used to do it for him using his penis. And that's why he hated Jews, because the guy never wanted to do it anymore, because Hitler was known not to wipe after he pooped. And
no,
the guy was like,
Jews because he knew that they ran the banks.
That and also because
he
none of them would put
more
their
powerful than he
and
was.
That and because none of them would put their finger in his ass anymore.
Yo, it's illegal to talk against the Holocaust or Jews. You'll be called anti-Semitic. Or if you talk against the Holocaust, you'll be put in jail.
Where? In the United States?
Australia.
Oh,
and
really?
Canada.
Is that why Mel Gibson came? Is that why Mel Gibson came here to talk all that shit?
Possibly. But can you believe that? That's the only thing you can go to jail for thought. If you think that and you voice it to anyone, you can go to jail.
No
for that.
Shit.
It's the only
is that
thing
true?
In the world.
Is that you true? Any of my Australian listeners that are listening, I want you to post in this thread. Is that true that if I am in Australia and I say the Holocaust never happened, would go to
nobody's
jail?
Nobody's listening in Australia right now. It's probably like 4 a.m. in Australia.
Don't say that. There's 3, 4, 5 people listening in Australia. Hold on. Let me refresh this. There's three people. There were. Maybe you're right. They may have signed out now, but let's see. No, there's still two people listening in Australia. So if you're listening to the show right now in Australia, I need you to post in the thread and tell me, is that true, that if I talk about the Holocaust and say that it didn't happen in Australia, will I go to jail? That's it. Okay, we'll find that in a minute. In the meantime, the Holocaust really happened. Of course it did happen.
Yeah. I'm not saying it ever didn't. I'm just saying that it was blown out of proportion for the benefits.
So in other words, what you're saying...
As crazy as that sounds,
How many Jews were supposed to have been killed in the Holocaust, Aaron? You probably learned this.
Six million.
Okay, so you're saying it was only like 4 million, right?
No, I'm saying it was like maybe a million.
Oh, okay. Well, still,
of course, was it horrible? Of course, was it horrible? Of course. I'm not saying anything against that. I'm just saying that they botched the story for their own benefit, basically.
So really what happened, Aaron, and I don't want to break your heart about this, Aaron, but being a Gentile, I know this. It was only 1 million people got killed, and the other five hated being Jewish.
They
changed their names to Gentile names, like Smith and Jones. And they abandoned the Jewish religion, and that's really what happened. It was a mass exodus. They were like, hey, people are fucking dying. This is our chance to get out of here.
Yo, if you read the actual Nuremberg trial, basically what went on, the only person who stood in front of a judge, I can't remember his name, but he only did it for 15 minutes, and basically the judge asked him, all right, were 6 million Jews killed? And he basically said, yeah.
And that was it. So there was no other proof needed. Man, that's amazing.
That was it.
All those fucking dead people and all the people missing, all that was all bullshit.
Okay, if you Google Frederick Tobin, he's been put in jail many times for speaking against the Jews.
Really?
Frederick Tobin. Actually, you can find a documentary he's done. He's gone to the camps himself, and he's gone through all the logic of it and whatnot. He's laid out the blueprints and basically went through what the story was, and it's impossible to have happened how the story happened.
They're saying he's a revisionist.
And guess what? Who else has done that? Nobody else. No one is going to go in there and be like, this is different. It didn't happen like that.
Okay, all right. First of all, I got to tell you that you're using Frederick Tobin as a basis for fact is skewed, because he is supported by the White Pride worldwide, which is an Aryan nation group. And let's face it, they say that me being Italian, I'm a mud person. So I don't buy it. Frederick Tobin just lost my any confidence.
Anybody can support anyone. A rapist could support Obama. Does that mean Obama's a
rapist?
No.
Come on. We know that these white pride organizations they propagate fucking bullshit because they're all inbred fucking Southerners. Come on.
Yeah, I agree, but that has nothing to do with Frederick Tobin.
Well, he should distance himself from them if he wants to be taken seriously. He's on LinkedIn too. Maybe I'm on LinkedIn. I'll join him and ask him if he wants to come on the show.
Do it. Give her.
He's not the attorney in Temecula, California. There's a Frederick Tobin who's an attorney that lives in Temecula, California.
Really?
Yeah. 102-year-old male in San Diego. All right, anyway, so the Holocaust, I disagree with you. I think that it was legit. I think there's a lot of research done to prove the number of people who died, but that's okay.
I believe that was a false flag attack, again, to try to bring in the New World Order and make everybody basically have the new, like the one world government and whatnot.
What about the United Nations? The Illuminati and that stuff.
Yeah, the Illuminati.
The United Nations, but it wasn't ready. People weren't ready for that.
What about the Illuminati?
If they have a World War III, you better believe it that everyone will be
scared. What about the Illuminati? What about the Illuminati? That's legit, right?
Honestly, I think so, yes.
Okay.
You might not have to call it that, but what they actually are, the core of them, yes, I do believe.
Do you wear an aluminum hat at night when you sleep?
Only if I feel the aliens are orbiting too close.
Because you don't want people to read your thoughts. I mean, isn't it? Because the government can read your thoughts, right?
I do believe it's possible to... Maybe not read thoughts yet, but that'll be possible.
They stop reading my thoughts because all I think about is jerking off.
they definitely don't want to know you.
Yeah, they're really bored with that. They're like, oh, let's scan him again. Fuck, all he's ever thinking about is jerking off.
The technology we have nowadays is by far more than the common person knows.
No, I agree about that. I agree.
It's crazy. And
what do the aliens learn by doing an anal probe? What can you learn by sticking a probe up someone's ass? Why not put it somewhere else in their brain, in the ear or something? Why the ass?
Because that sounds fun.
That's why. They're just fucking with us, right? When they come down, they're like, you know what it is? The aliens are smart. They're like, when people go gay bashing, it's like, let's go to Earth and stick things in people's asses. Yeah, let's go. Come on. And they have a couple beers on the way down. And they catch a couple hillbillies outside of a trailer park. And stick things up their asses. And then they go home and laugh. That's what they're doing. You know that, right?
Carl, I think you're crazy.
Yes, but at least I admit it. You don't.
No, I don't. Okay. I definitely know I'm not.
I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, well, you did cool. say, you did at the beginning of the interview say that you might have, what was it, paranoid schizophrenia?
No, I suggested that, and he jokingly, you know, let's be honest, he didn't say that. I said, are you a paranoid schizophrenic? And he laughed and said, maybe I am. He wasn't.
I've just, you know what, I've asked my question myself that a million times, because obviously not a lot of people believe what I believe. Like, am I crazy? But no.
Do you
I've reassured myself.
Do you have a girlfriend or a wife? You have a girlfriend or a wife?
Pardon?
Do you have a girlfriend or a wife?
No, I have neither.
Have you dated recently?
She's only, what, 21, right?
Big deal.
23, actually.
Okay, have you dated?
Yes, many. Well, I had a long-term relationship for about 4 years.
And then she got loose? She got out of the closet?
Honestly, I was just...
I had a long-term relationship, but I forgot to lock the door one day. She got out. No, really. Like, when you tell your girlfriends this stuff, do they, like, they get scared?
I've told a lot of people this stuff, and I believe if anyone truly wants to sit down and try to understand it, then, and they give it a fair, like, listen, I think anybody could be convinced. Anybody.
Yeah. No, I think you can make a lot of arguments for a lot of things, but I think it comes down to whether or not people in their heart believe this stuff. And you in your heart believe it. That's the difference.
Exactly. And you know what? It's a rabbit hole. Once you believe one thing, then you have to believe almost everything.
Right.
And it keeps going and going. And every facet of our lives is different than I was brought up to believe. And that's what kind of pissed me off. When I was 18 years old, I started researching this stuff. And I basically felt like I've been lied to my whole life. And my life has just been a cookie cutter. And
were you raised with religion?
I don't believe that I have a right to do what I want and think how I want.
Were you raised with religion? Were you like your parents a Seventh-day Adventist or Catholic or something like that?
No. 100% non-religious. My dad talked to Jehovah's Witnesses before, but...
Talked to what?
Talked to Jehovah's Witnesses before.
Oh, yeah, like when they come and ring the doorbell, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
He told them to get the fuck off.
I've actually talked to them before, and you know what? All their answers are, you have to have faith.
Yeah, I know.
You have the faith, then you're good to go.
But why are they different than you? They have books that support their opinions. Like, they'll say, Jesus is coming back, right?
Carl, we don't have... Yeah, but that's a book. I could write a book and send it, you know, to someone. But
yeah, but for these guys that are writing this shit,
what's behind it?
But you know what? You don't do the... When you read these articles about these conspiracy theories, do you actually go and look for the sources of information to find out if these people are even telling the truth?
Exactly, that's what you have to do. It takes a long time, and you know what? I could ask you the same for any, like, university course, anything. Have you actually gone and seen those studies?
No, that's exactly my point. So really,
you can't truly believe anything, but you can use a lot of logic.
You just said it. You can't truly believe anything. There is no such as logic. Logic only applies if you have facts on your side. The same way as these Jehovah's Witnesses.
And there are a lot of facts, for sure.
But you, until you go to the source, you can't tell that they're really facts. I mean, because let's put it this way.
That's not true.
Yeah, it is true. Because there are people who wrote that something happened, and there are people who wrote that something didn't happen. And unless you were there when it happened to see it with your own eyes, you have to take one of those interpretations. They both are wrong. Because there is, in every situation, there's your version of the truth, there's my version of the truth, and then there's the truth, the absolute truth. So everybody skews everything to fit their needs or whatever. Religion is the same way. Religion, you talk to these people who are devout, whatever it is, well, you know, Jesus is going to solve my problems. No, he's not. He's not going to solve anybody's problems. And he didn't create your problems either. You know, stand on your own 2 feet and figure the fucking thing out yourself. But that's no difference than the guy who believes in religion will say the Bible is truth. And you're in the same boat as them, believe it or not. And I actually, that's why I was asking if you were raised with religion. You were raised with no religion. You made this your religion. Because everybody needs something to believe in.
I do agree with the very last point that everyone does need something to believe in, but I totally disagree with everything else he said, and I don't think you can attribute them to each other. They're not correlated at all. They're totally different. The Bible is a book. Who knows who wrote it? It's probably bullshit because it sounds like bullshit, and there's absolutely zero proof, and there's a million different copies and a million different versions and a million different interpretations. So even if one of those people were correct, then, hey, guess what? Another 6 billion people are going to heaven or whatnot. You know what I mean?
So, yeah, but your conspiracy theories have supporters and pros and cons. You have people that say, oh no, I did all the research and this is what I found out. Then you have people who detract from that, say, no, you're wrong. This is, and they have research too. So if the Bible isn't real, then the documents you're reading are just as flawed. And I agree with you. The Bible isn't real. The Bible was created by men. It wasn't written by God. And so I say the same thing to you. You're no different than the fucking Hale-Bopp guys who drank the Kool-Aid because the Hale-Bopp comet was coming by and they thought they can catch on to the tail and go into eternity. They believed in that. They had information that they could point at and they'd say to you, no, read this. This means this. And this guy saw it. He was there when it happened and he wrote this fuck. Unless you're standing there counting the fucking bodies at the Holocaust, at Auschwitz, you or I have no right to fucking, because all we're doing is we're parroting what other people are telling us. Unless you were there, I can't tell you how many people died. I wouldn't even try to because I wasn't there. And really, I'm just parroting what anybody else says at that point in time. And what you do is no different than religion. Your religion happens to be conspiracy theories.
Totally false, but good try.
No.
I really enjoyed listening to that.
Dude, you can say
pretty cool.
Dude, you are,
it's
just
kind of like what the media does. They can spin anything, you know what I mean?
Dude.
You can make me come off as a completely crazy person.
No, I'm not saying you're crazy.
Or you can make me come off as someone
really, I'm not saying you're crazy. I'm pointing out that I had a conversation with a very religious person about 5 months ago, and I was giving them proof that I felt was strong that proves that a lot of the things that they were saying about faith and religion and Jesus were off base. And I
how
have,
can you say you know anything is fact then?
That,
how can you
that's
say,
my
your
that,
name is Carl Lenore. Prove it to me.
No, that I you can because I have a birth certificate and I have people who were there when I was born. But five generations from now, people are just going to be repeating what they were told. And you
exactly.
know what it's like when
so
you play.
Did you ever live?
No, but the point is this. When you were in grammar school, you played a game called Telephone, right?
Yeah.
I said, dirty girls. By the time it came out the other end, it said 50 curls. It's like everything gets contorted when people have to pass the story along. So I stand on my ground here that you're no different than a religious zealot. They just happen to believe in faith and God and the coming of Christ and all that sort of stuff. And you believe that there's all these conspiracy theories going on. No difference.
No difference. No, they're completely different.
Well, in your eyes, sure they
when,
are.
When a very intelligent person from a university supports my ideas opposed to the mainstream media's ideas, who's a right?
Dude, you're gonna tell me that because someone has a university degree, that doesn't mean that
not just a university. Well, who are you gonna listen to? You know what I mean? The
listen,
smartest people
I
in the
used
world
to,
are
I used to
people
remember,
who are
you remember Timothy Leary?
I do.
I went to his lectures when I was young at Pratt Institute, and I saw him again in Las
Vegas.
Cool. Okay,
that's very cool.
But dude, the guy was fucking dropping acid, and on his deathbed, he recanted a lot of things that he said because he realized, you know what? I was just fucked up when I was saying that shit. Then people followed me.
Well, I didn't actually know that he did that on his deathbed. I don't know if I believe it or not. I don't know if you're tricking me.
It was in Rolling Stone magazine.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, so I don't really see.
And I thought the guy was a genius. Last time I saw him, it was 1986. I saw him speak at UNLV in the Thomas and Mack, and I went down.
All right,
and
Carl,
shook
put
his
it
head.
Like this. All right, anybody can call me whatever they want. They can believe whatever they want. But if they truly want to understand it and they do their research and they take the time to do it, then they can make their own opinions. You know what I mean? I honestly don't care what anybody thinks.
Okay.
If somebody thinks that I'm crazy and they think you know everything different than I do, that's fine. They have the choice to do that. But if they actually don't want to be ignorant and see every single side to every story, then you can draw your own conclusion.
There you go, and that's fair. People can weigh it themselves. They can look at and we can't even call the. I was about
to say.
I'm
Carl. When this is over, I'm going to watch a presentation on the Rothschild timeline just for the hell of it.
Yeah,
just
fucking right.
Just for young
you know
parents.
What? There's actually, I think it's about 21 hours long, and I've actually sat through that, and I've sat through many more very. Very long documentary.
The one that I'm going to watch is 21 hours long?
Pardon?
Yeah.
The one that I'm going to watch is 21 hours long?
You can find a shortened one, yes.
Aaron has such a short time span, he can only shave one side of his face at a time. He does one side every other day.
The average person, Carl, what do you do all day?
Me? I work.
Yeah. You work, exactly. You go home, you work, you come home, you might crack a beer, you eat some food, you watch TV, blah, 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 you do it again. You don't have time to, you know, research this stuff.
That's right.
You don't
right.
have time to have your own opinion. Your opinion is what you watch on TV.
Well, I don't watch any,
you,
I don't watch any
TV. Royally.
And I don't watch the news and I don't read the newspaper.
Exactly, but most people do, right?
Yeah.
That's how common knowledge. Common knowledge is bullshit. Common knowledge is mass media. That's all it is. It's propaganda.
Hey, listen, let's talk about, let's get off the subject of, so how did you find your way onto the boards?
I guess just working out and asking questions, and obviously you need to sign up to, like, post questions, so that's basically
this is obviously a guy who does a lot of research, Carl. So.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Do you believe the Jews are evil, that they control the world?
I think that they're the most powerful people, yes.
The most powerful.
Are they evil? I guess you can call them whatever you want.
Well, power corrupts, and absolute power corrupts.
Exactly,
absolutely.
Exactly. And think about anybody in that position. Think about if your father passed down a bank to you and you had like a like billions and billions of dollars and he told you, you know, like, this is our job, we need to do this. Like, that's what you do. You're the most powerful person. You're like, your hand actually makes
a difference
in the world.
Don't you think that's kind of generalizing though? Because I'm Jewish and I don't have any power or money.
No, exactly. No. But I mean, the people who are in the most powerful people are Jewish. Doesn't mean it doesn't have.
Yeah, not every Jew is powerful, but the most powerful people are Jewish.
Exactly. Certainly not.
Yeah, you really fucked up, Aaron. You were the Lamb of God. You could have fucking been anything you wanted, and you.
I wish I was one of these Rothschilds. Fuck.
You're a Singerman.
Yeah. It's not bad, but it could be better.
And your voice sucks. I don't know how much singing you're going to be doing anyway.
Yo, my singing voice sucks.
Yeah.
Have you guys heard of David Rockefeller? Of course.
Oh, Rockefeller,
his dad,
yeah.
His father, the oil tycoon, which was the richest man in the world about 100 and what, some years ago. Well, anyways, obviously that wealth has been passed down to his kids, and David Rockefeller is the oldest one, so he's obviously going to have, you know, the most money and whatnot. Okay, so what do you guys think? Why do you think women's liberation happened?
Because we needed more people in the workforce?
Basically, yeah, actually. Think about it. David Rockefeller, a bank, he funded women's liberation. And if he can fund women's liberation, there'll be twice as many workers, twice as much tax, right? Twice as much loans and buying.
And there's also another
and he
aspect.
Is a banker.
Rats
so
on
he
a wheel.
Directly doubled. Doubled taxes and all
doubled,
that.
and doubled the gross national product and doubled incomes and so on and so forth. Household incomes, but
no, not doubled incomes because of inflation.
Right.
You have to work two jobs just to make what
but,
one
and
so don't try to say it like it was a good thing.
No, it's not a good thing. And then on top of that, keeps people
now
off,
kids are fucked up too.
Right. That's what I was going to say. And on top of that, keeps the American family distracted. You can't fucking do anything because you're a rat on a wheel. Everybody's running in different directions. Nobody can pay attention to what's going on.
Precisely.
Anyway, we're coming to the end of the interview. Do you want to plug anything or anybody?
Not really.
You're like the Grand Wizard or something like that?
Pretty much.
No. Do you want to plug the Grand Wizard or something like that?
No, I just want people to research the Money Masters, check out the Rothschilds timeline. Check out the Council on Foreign Relations, Trilateral Commission, the Bilderberg Group, all institutions that dictate our life that we have no say.
Ku Klux Klan, necessary evil or misunderstood good guys?
Well, white people are dying these days. We're basically in the minority, so you know I got to have someone sticking up for my race.
Fucking A, man. Wake up, white people.
That was a good note to end it on.
Wake up, white people. Remember him, David Carver on Howard Stern? Wake up, white people. Hey, listen, I'm just breaking your balls. You're a good guest, and I enjoyed, you know, what you had to say. I'm glad you came on. I do respect your opinion. How do I know? You could be fucking right, and I could be the crazy one. Although I doubt it, but, you know, it could be. I'm just fucking with you. Listen, thank you very much for having the balls. And having the balls to come on, too. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're just fucking around with you. And the truth is, you are entitled to your opinion. And I'm glad you came on, man.
Thank you.
All right, well, that's it for Off Topic tonight. Thank you for Zach Kahn. He was on last night, actually, but you didn't hear him till tonight. And thank you for Young Guns. Obviously, we don't want to give your real name away because the feds do listen to this show. We know that from when we had that doctor on from South America. Anyway, we're glad you listened. And two more shows, and I'm out of here. Right? 99 and 100. And I'm history. So don't you don't want to miss the next two shows. Are going to be pearls, I promise you.
We might do the 100th show and have on all of our old regular guests.
Yeah, there you go. So they can we can you know what like, we should roast me. Why don't we roast me on the 100th show?
We could have BLP come on.
Yes, and roast me. I want to be roasted. I want to be like a celebrity roast. That's what I want to do.
All right.
All right, we'll see everybody next week. Love you.